Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
You know what you're looking at here?
No.
This is Dealey Plaza, where JFK was shot in 1963. Exact replica.
Wow.
Yeah. Grassy Knoll, book depository. With this model, I was able to prove that not only did Oswald not act alone, but I proved how they were able to cover their tracks with all the evidence they left behind. The grassy knoll in the book depository. They moved it in the middle of the night, cut it into pieces, took it all down, moved it to Area 51.
They moved the grassy knoll?
Oh, yeah. To Area 51. It's sitting there right now. Our friends have seen it. Too much evidence in there. They couldn't let it sit.
And now,
with John F. Kennedy, was really put everybody in a sad position.
Our feature presentation.
That was very inconsiderate of him.
It really was.
To put us in that sad position.
Why don't you think about other people for a change, JFK?
Hey, Bean, starting with presidential death, is that the way to go? Is that the choice?
Well, look, if you're an American,
yes, which I am,
of a certain age,
mm-hmm.
November 22nd rolls around and
right.
It's on your mind. You think about it. I mean, I won't say I think about it a lot, but I do wonder if it was the saddest day in U.S. history. I do wonder if...
Right, and my question is, starting the show, which is supposed mm-hmm. to be a ha-ha funny show,
right,
with one of the saddest days in history...
Right, but
I'm
then
saying
you get,
maybe that's a misstep.
But then you get the great Ed Begley Jr. talking about how they cut up the grassy knoll in the middle of the night and
right.
moved it to Area 51.
Which
there's
that
a little
is
levity
new.
There.
That is new to me. I was
yeah,
not aware
see,
of that.
You didn't know anything about that, but that adds a little levity to the otherwise sad day. And then you got Rodney bringing it home with blame.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
For getting shot in the head. I just feel like that was a roller coaster of emotions that 1 minute right there.
I see. Okay. All right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, and like Bean said, it is the 22nd of November.
Speaking of presidents,
yes.
Look.
This is going to be good.
No, I'm serious, but look.
Right.
But seriously, though, just look.
Right.
I'm trying not to get – look, I know we don't want to talk about
– mosquito. I don't want mosquitoes around me.
Right.
I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like those mosquitoes. I never did.
I know we don't want to talk about politics, and I know that we're beat up and we've spent too much time thinking about and watching and living in a world where politics are a thing. It's getting harder and harder, though, in this past week to not think about and talk about. I mean, you've got the chief strategist for the president-elect of the United States who's at a rally where people are literally giving him the Nazi salute. I mean, that's for reals.
Right.
It's happening. And no condemnation whatsoever from the new administration. Like, that's allowed. Like, that's happening on our soil now in 2016. You got the president-elect canceling an interview with the New York Times because they're not nice to him.
I did see that tweet. That was funny.
He's going to be the president. He won't talk to the press because they're not nice to him. Okay. So, having said all of that, I'm going to introduce you to your new hero. His name is Joe Chandler. He lives in Brunswick, Georgia. He does not know yet who won the presidential election.
As of now?
By choice. He does not know. Here's a little bit of an interview he did with Good Morning America.
So around here, and we're going to assume most places in the country, you probably can't find any bigger news than the election, right? Yeah. Well, would you believe that there is still one man who doesn't know who the next president will be? Shall we meet him? His name is Joe Chandler. We found him. He's from Brunswick, Georgia. So far, he's avoided newspapers, TV, and the internet. And look at this. When he leaves the house, he wears headphones and a sign that reads, I don't know who won and don't want to. Please don't tell you. So guess what? We just happen to have him on Skype. Hi, Joe.
Okay, again, he wears headphones so he doesn't overhear conversations, doesn't look at the internet, doesn't look at newspaper boxes
right.
when he goes by,
right.
tries to avoid everything, wears a sign on his chest that said, I don't know who won the election,
right.
Don't tell me.
At that point, I stop believing it. Because there are a lot of a-holes like me, if I see that sign, I will let that guy know who won.
Well, he's living in Little Brunswick, Georgia, where not everybody is an a-hole.
Okay,
so.
All right.
Look, first of all, it seems like too much work. To me.
Correct.
Because the only way to not see that, look, is to not be engaged in the world at all.
Right, which I assume there are a lot of people that are like that, you know?
I mean, I guess it's possible you could be a dude who just stays in your house and reads books all the time. But, I mean, is there there's never come a time where he wants to buy something on Amazon.com. You know what I mean, for instance? I mean, there's a lot of – you go to anything and you'll find some reference to who the new president is.
Right.
Well, let's see what the man has to say.
Hey there. So good to see you.
I have to tell you, everybody around here, the crew behind the scenes, we're trying so hard not to mess this up for you. So be real here. There are a lot of people – people who probably don't believe this, but you really truly don't know who the president is and how are you doing it. I mentioned not reading the newspapers. It seems like your newspaper would have holes all in it if you took the headlines out.
That's right. I kind of gotten to be an expert at this. I divert my gaze from newspaper boxes. I don't venture out very often, and when I do, I wear my headphones and my sign, and people have been very respectful of my decision.
Kevin, are you going to get your car as soon as we're off for Thanksgiving weekend? You're going to drive
all the way to his house.
You're going to find his house. You're going to put a billboard in his front yard.
What's his? Does he say how long he wants to go this way?
Yes, he does get to that because he's wondering. They do wonder at one point. I mean, you can't go 4 years without knowing, right?
Joe, may I ask, why are you doing this?
Well, it was never a plan. I was invited to a gathering at a friend's house on election night to sit there with everybody else and gnaw my nails to the quick into the night. And I'm just beat to a pulp like we all are. I don't want to. And the next morning, I'm an artist and a writer. I had a lot of creative work to do. I just worked in my studio all day. And at about the 24-hour mark, all I wanted to do is give myself 24 hours of blissful ignorance. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my daughter in Atlanta, or near Atlanta, and she said, you know, you may be the only person in the country, sweet, other than those in a cave or something, who still doesn't know.
So, in other words, he's watching the election like most of us were that night, and he was exhausted by it and nervous about it. He doesn't say, by the way, who his candidate was, who he hoped would win.
Right.
But he was like, when he woke up the next morning, he thought, you know what? Maybe I don't need to know right now because it's exhausting. Maybe I'll just do my thing today. And then one day turned into the second day and then third day, and now here we are weeks later.
Just
he still
not
doesn't
buying
know.
It. Just not buying it. Because if you watched it that night, mm-hmm, I mean, every single 5 minutes was another sign that Donald Trump was winning. It just was.
Depends how early he got out, I guess.
Yeah, did he get out like 4 p.m.?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. A little bit more with Joe.
That's so cool. If you're limiting newspaper reading, then you probably don't know that the Martians landed in New York recently either.
But let me George ask Stephanopoulos, everybody. Bringing the Martian comedy.
Define comedy.
So when are you going to find out, Joe?
Well, you know, I don't really have an exact exit plan. There has been talk of throwing a gender reveal party. Rather than, is it pink or is it blue? It will be, is it blue or is it red?
Well, if you had to guess, who do you think won?
I'm playing the 50-yard line on that one.
They were way too entertained by George Chandler from Brunswick, Georgia, by the way. So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is Joe is my new hero. I wish I were him.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Less talking, more swallowing.
Right? It's been our slogan for a long time. You know what it's like when you're at a store, you're at a restaurant, and your credit card gets rejected?
Yes, I do.
That is good times. We're going to talk about those good times today. We also have, from the LA Kings, Tanner Pearson on the program today.
How about that?
We have Shia LaBeouf in studio. I have so many questions for him. I can't even.
I can't embrace it!
Right. Right. So we got that coming up. And we've got your tickets for both nights at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. And the first time we're going to tell you about it is just after 6 a.m.
So now this is a deal like yesterday where we give you a chance to do something out without having to call us, right?
Yes.
Out on the street, you get a chance to win these tickets for both nights. So
out on the street.
Cool.
And if you are listening just after 6, you'll have a jump on the other people who are, you know, not don't listen until 7 or 8. So just after 6, we'll give you some details on how to win both nights at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
As Kevin mentioned, just after 6 o'clock, we'll give you the first details on how you can win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, coming up December 10th and 11th at the Forum. Also on today's show, by the way, L.A. Clippers won again last night. Still have the best record in the NBA.
Clappers!
Got tickets to see the Clippers taking on the Spurs at Staples Center
next
week.
Clappers v. Spurs!
What's up?
What's up?
Coming up later this morning on K-Rock. That's the voice of our friend Ralph Garman, who steps in with our first look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
Hey!
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 Kanye's exhausted.
He's so tired.
Oh, he's so tired.
Is he also dehydrated, does it say?
I believe he also is dehydrated.
Uh-huh.
Listen, we talked yesterday about the fact that Kanye West canceled the remainder of his St. Pablo tour because he's just had too much going on. He's designing things. He's got T-shirts to cut holes in and people to yell at. He's got to be mad at Beyonce. That's exhausting.
Right.
Right?
And Jay-Z. By the way, those 25-minute concerts, man, that takes up some time.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
He is awesome.
Awesome.
Don't forget this.
I'm also awesome.
He's also awesome.
Y'all know.
Y'all know how awesome he is.
Right?
Well, he was taken to the hospital yesterday and placed under observation for exhaustion. You know how it is sometimes when you're exhausted, but they want to watch you to make sure you're really exhausted.
We can't tell by any of our medical tests whether you're exhausted. Let us just keep an eye on
you. We're just going to watch you and see if you fall asleep, and that'll be one of the indicators that you're exhausted. Stinks to holy high heaven.
Yeah.
Because police had to respond to a medical welfare call at his home at 1:20 p.m.
Now, what is that? Have we ever heard of that?
That's someone in the inner circle going,
oh,
brother's got a problem.
Oh, yeah, I see.
He ain't right.
Yeah. So they show up, and the paramedics decided to hospitalize him for his own health and safety.
Oh.
Now, is that, forgive me, Ralph, is that different language than when they put you on a you know, a suicide watch, medical hold?
Yeah, this isn't
a
5150.
Like okay.
This is out of the psychiatric hold. This was just like a,
Why don't you stay here for a little bit?
No, why don't you come with us for a little bit? We're going to put you in a place where there's nice people in white coats
right.
to watch over you. And now his team is saying, it's exhaustion. He's been hospitalized for exhaustion, but... All is well. Remain calm. There's nothing to see here.
This is fame, bro.
It's fame, bro. Apparently, he's also got a very severe case of realness.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's sorry about
that. I'm sorry for the realness.
He's sorry for the realness. Meanwhile, TMZ is reporting that Kim Kardashian flipped out over his little temper tantrum and quitting his tour and jetted out of Los Angeles early yesterday morning. So he's in a hospital, and she's gallivanting. She's traveling about, according to TMZ.
I mean, I'm with her.
She bailed.
You don't think happens. I feel bad?
I don't think you do, really. you just did that.
Don't you feel like Kim Kardashian is a pain in the ass, and Kanye West is a pain in the ass?
Oh, they absolutely deserve each other.
Right.
Yeah, it's great.
So when one of them's doing this, it's just like, all right, I'm out.
When the chips are down and you need your spouse.
Right.
And you need to depend on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can count on either one of those.
Yeah, I think so.
Which makes me endlessly happy, by the way. Also making me endlessly happy is all the angry Donald Trump and Mike Pence supporters who flipped out about the whole Hamilton thing. You know the story by now. Mike Pence went to see the Broadway show Hamilton. He was booed by the audience, and then at the end of the performance, the performers gave an impassioned plea to Mr. Pence about the upcoming administration and what their hopes were for that. Well, a lot of people did not like that, so they started sending out angry tweets. Now, it's not like people to send out angry tweets in a political conversation, but they did, and they were furious, so they sent lots of hateful tweets, death threats,
sure,
anger, all at Hamilton Theater, which is what got tagged, at Hamilton Theater.
Right.
Here's the problem. At Hamilton Theater is the Twitter handle for the little Hamilton Theater in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, no.
So there they were.
All of a sudden, they turn on their social media.
A barrage of hatred just pouring in.
What did we do?
It happened after a performance of their current show, The Toxic Avenger, which is a little parody of the B-movie, The Toxic Avenger. And Rianne Leonard, who runs the little theater, said, I saw the first one, like, I'm never supporting Hamilton Theater again. I wondered what we could have done to upset this person so much, because I thought we had a really good show.
Nice job, dumbass.
So, look.
Wow.
If you need to spew your hate, just do a little research first, is all we're asking.
Tiny amount.
Take the time to hate properly, America. Hate with consistency and with specificity.
What he said.
Right. Specificity.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, reminder, today's new DVD day. Here's what you can get if you want to pick up a DVD. Kubo and the Two Strings. Oh, my God. How good is that? Right? Chip's giving the thumb up. She likes it.
Thumb? Not thumbs?
Yeah, she's had one thumb.
Okay.
Hell or High Water. How great is that?
That's great, too.
DVD. Mechanic Resurrection with Jason Statham. How great is that? I don't know. I didn't see it. War Dogs, I did see with Miles Teller and Jonah Hill. I loved that movie.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
It's available on DVD. Hands of Stone, the Roberto Duran story, if you like boxing. That's available today on DVD. And a little movie called Yoga Hosers.
Oh, that's terrible.
What?
I loved it. That's what
starring Lily Rose Depp and Harley Quinn Smith and Johnny Depp and
Ralph Garman.
And me.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Come on.
Hey, Ben.
Kevin went to see it in theaters.
I did. I liked it.
That's the kind of love Kevin has. Bean won't watch it on DVD this week, I guarantee.
Or stream it.
Thanks for clarifying.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I'm ignoring you in many ways. I'm boycotting you on all levels.
But you know what? That movie's not for Bean either.
No, it's
I mean,
not.
That's all it was. You have to have
he would not enjoy
a fun
it.
Attitude and be flipping about stuff. Yeah, and it's really
a
farce.
Goofy, cartoonish movie. And it's
now, I have seen several things that Ralph has been in and have been very impressed.
Not on purpose, though, right?
No, that's
just
not
by
true.
Accident. You
no,
run across
them. Or something.
You were watching House one night, and just unfortunately, I came on your screen, and you couldn't get to the remote quick enough?
No, sir. I went out of my way to see Red State, for instance, and I thought you were fantastic in it.
Red State.
This has nothing to do with your acting ability. It's just, like Kevin said, it's not for me.
Yeah.
It's Bobby!
Right? Bobby lives forever.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jamie Lee Curtis. You know, from Scream Queens.
And yogurt commercials.
She's 58 years old today. Actor Mads Mikkelsen. He's terrifying, right?
He sure is.
He sure is, man. He scares me.
You know him. You saw Doctor Strange, right?
I did not yet, no.
Oh.
No.
Isn't he the bad guy in that? Yeah,
yes, he is. Yeah. And, and in Rogue One also.
Still hoping
right,
next month.
And, of course, he was Hannibal, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Actual Hannibal.
right.
Hannibal. 51 years old today. Mark Ruffalo. How much do we love the Rough Man?
We Ruffy. Don't call him the Rough Man.
Ruffy.
But...
We love Ruffy.
You love Ruffy.
I'm all about Ruffy. He, of course, the Incredible Hulk. And what a coincidence. His fellow Avenger, the Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, is 32 years old today. So lots of people in the Marvel Universe celebrating today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are only about 2.5 weeks away from this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. They are sold out Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Forum. By the way, how many years has K-Rock been putting on this thing now? Like 27?
39.
I think it's 27. Hey,
27.
Ex-producer Lightning, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Does that sound right? 27 years?
It does feel like 35. Yeah, I don't know, but they've all been amazing.
Yeah,
they have
all been amazing, and that's the thing, is every year, you know, it'd be so easy to go, well, I guess it's another Acoustic Christmas. That's just a thing we do in December. But then when the lineup is revealed, and this year, I mean, it's hard to say what your favorite year is, but this year to have Blink-182 and Green Day and Beck and Kings of Leon and Jimmy Eat World and Weezer, AFI, Bastille, and so many more over two nights, it's incredible. I mean, it really is the best show anywhere all year long.
And I will say this, that we didn't think that Gibson Amphitheater could be topped.
Right.
But the Forum has been epic. Back me up on this.
Yeah, it has been
great. They have rolled out the red carpet.
Wait, you can demand that we back you up on this?
Okay, maybe not. But it's gorgeous. It's such a great atmosphere.
Yeah, it is. The sound is great and everything. So Lightning is helping us give away tickets on the street this week because we do hear you when you say, look, I've called 150 times and I can't get through to K-Rock. It's always a busy signal. Are you guys really even there? So we thought, hey, let's give you an opportunity with plenty of advance notice that you're going to have a chance to go someplace and win the tickets. Lightning, you were wearing your bottle outfit yesterday. You were lightning in a
yes.
bottle.
Oh, you look so good.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I was sexy.
And the listeners had to find your location yesterday. Today, it's even going to be easier because we're going to give your location. You're going to be at 9 o'clock this morning, right? You're going
to
be
from
at
8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll get there early. So at 9 o'clock is when we're going to give the tickets away, but you're going to be at the Pan Pacific Park. The Pan Pacific Park, 7600 Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that's right across the street from the Grove.
The Grove, yes.
Right, okay.
Yes. So super easy to find, easy central location for a lot of our listeners, so you'll want to be down there. The Pan Pacific Park, 7600 Beverly Boulevard, L.A. Lightning will be there at 8. We're going to give away the tickets at 9. Kevin, how are we doing it today?
Today is a scavenger hunt.
Oh,
so
goody.
That's the reason Lightning's not going to go down there till 8. We're going to do the drawing at 9 because you have some work to do. Today, we're going to give you 3 clues. We're going to give the first 3 right now. And then we're going to give the next 3 before Ralph's next showbiz beat. And then we're going to give the next 3 for his next showbiz beat.
Okay.
So it'll be 6:05, then 6:50, then 7:50.
Okay.
You get all 9 of them and come down and meet Lightning. And if only one person does that, then they win the tickets. If more than one person does that, then they have a drawing. And if no one does it, whoever has the most.
They'll win.
They'll win.
Got it.
So here are the 3 clues for right now. And this, I believe, this isn't the only time we're going to say it, right?
That's correct.
We're going to recap as well, but you get a jump on everybody else. So here it is. Clue number 1 is any piece. Because of the band Kings of Leon, the first clue that you're supposed to get is any piece of L.A. Kings memorabilia.
I don't get the tie-in.
I said clue. I meant item. Yes. The item that you need to get is any piece of L.A. Kings memorabilia.
Yeah. See, because it's Kings of Leon.
Right.
So, So
it can be anything from a jersey to a hockey stick to a bumper sticker to a hat to a ticket stub, right?
Right. Anything. Next is based on Beck, who was born Beck David Campbell. You need a can of Campbell's soup.
Should be pretty easy to come by.
Right?
Yeah.
And third, based on Green Day, a March 2016 calendar page with St. Patrick's Day circled. Because of green.
Interesting.
Okay. Green Day. So those are the first 3 items. Any piece of LA Kings memorabilia, a can of Campbell's soup, and a March 2016 calendar page with St. Patrick's Day circled on it.
There are people that are running around their house right this very second.
Yes, but the drawing will not happen till 9, so you're not in a desperate rush. You just have more time than the people to hear these clues later on today.
Got it.
Hey, are
we
posting these clues somewhere as well?
No!
Yes. Dave, we can put these up.
No!
I'm hearing no.
On air only.
I guess I won't be posting these.
Right.
All right. So those are the first 3 clues. We'll give you the next 3 clues in less than an hour from right now. And then less than an hour from that, we'll give you the final 3 clues. So there are going to be 9 items altogether. Pan Pacific Park, 7600 Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles, across from the Grove at 9 o'clock. As Kevin explained, if there's only one person down there with all 9 items, that is the winner. If more than one, then we'll do a drawing. If nobody has 9, then whoever has the most. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And again, the prize you're playing for is both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Lightning, any place in particular you'll be at the park? Because it's a big park.
I'm dressed in a giant green bottle. I mean, really.
You'll
Let's
be pretty
honest.
Easy to find. He's still find Lightning me. In a bottle. For God's sakes.
If you want tickets to see Acoustic Christmas on book days, it is Lightning in a bottle. You gotta find him in the right place. So there's just one thing to do. It will all depend on you. Find Lightning in a bottle. He might try and make you eat poo.
Everybody say hey. Oh. Okay. Everybody scream.
Eating poo, though,
no,
right?
So a woman showed up yesterday and she says, "You're not going to make me eat poo, right?" I'm like, No.
Oh, you act like that's out of the realm of possibilities.
I reserve that for Santa Anita. Yeah.
Please.
All right, Light. Thank you for coming in. We'll talk to you on the phone later on today. Good luck, everybody, with the scavenger hunt to win your tickets for the show. Right now, though, we want to open up the phone lines for you. I know it's early, but you probably got something on your mind you'd like to hear us talk about on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is your chance. You've got questions. You've got comments. You've got problems. You've got news. What's going on? We want to talk to you next. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for your phone calls and Kevin and Bean's What's Good? Coming up right after this. Time to meet some of the poor souls who have to be up as early as we do. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for your phone calls on any topic for Kevin and Bean's What's Good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Chip, wife is very disappointed. Jeremiah was on hold and we lost him somehow. He recently, I guess, jumped on the Dolphins bandwagon, Chip? Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, and I'm kicking him off because he couldn't even stay
on
long enough.
Hang on
to,
for 20 seconds?
20 seconds, yeah.
So, Jeremiah, do call back. We do want to talk to you about the terrible decision that you made to support the Miami Dolphins. Let's go to Marlin, line two, up first. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, what's good on any topic? Marlin is in Rancho Cucamonga, and he joins us on the air right now. Hello, sir.
Hello. Good morning, Kevin and Beans.
Good morning. What's good?
So, the universe sucks.
The universe sucks.
Big statement.
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Okay. My wife's birthday over the weekend. She gets tipsy. All right. Her friend, very hot girl. All right. Cool. Decides to go with us. Gets a little buzz too. Comes in some to have a threesome.
Okay. Hold on a sec. So far, it doesn't sound to me like the universe sucks.
Wait. Then we go to a different friend's house, has cats. Wife starts sneezing. My wife's like, don't worry about it. I'll start drinking. I'll go away. Cool. Next thing I know, she starts scratching. She just looks at me and looks at my arm. She gets allergies. She gets an allergic reaction to her arm. Kills the moment. We gotta go.
So your threesome was killed because it was supposed to happen at a house where there were cats and your wife had an allergic reaction.
Yeah, the whole situation, I don't know what happened. She's never been allergic to cats.
Further proof the cats suck.
Look, I love cats, but I got to tell you got done wrong this time. You really did. Those cats did you wrong, my friend.
Unless your wife knew she was allergic to cats and went to that house on purpose, Marlon. What do you think of that?
Nah, she was like ready up to it, getting like they were both in the back seat of the truck, kissing and hugging, and hey, this and that. Like, damn, giving me a show.
Yeah, stupid cats.
Cats suck. Yeah.
All right, sir.
Everything.
Thank you for the call. The universe doesn't suck though, because cheese still exists. So there's a lot to be grateful for. All right, let's go to Rudy, Santa Ana, line one, please. Up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking your calls on any topic. What's good? 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Rudy.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. What's good?
Well, Kevin. My wife is pregnant, 4.5 months pregnant with a set
Why are you blaming Kevin for that? You don't know that it was him?
I'll take a paternity test right now.
Jesus. Wow, you're really coming at my man here.
No, I know that Kevin has a set of twins.
I do.
And my question to you, Kevin, was what am I to expect? Because these are going to be my first kids, so I have no idea what to expect when it comes to twins.
Can you move and not tell her where you're going?
That is not an option, sir.
All right, here's what I'm going to tell you. It's going to be the best thing in your life, by far. But the first year, you're not going to remember a day because it's just a crazy amount of work. Do you have enough money to hire a babysitter, like at least a part of each day?
You know what? I talked to my mom, and she's willing to give her a hand every couple of days.
Whew!
Oh, that's something.
Whew!
That's something, right?
Yes, it is. It's been nice knowing you, Rudy. I'm happy for you. I'm sorry that you're not going to be able to enjoy him when they're 4 and 5 and 6, because that's the best thing in the world.
Because he'll be dead by then?
Correct.
Because he won't survive them being 1 and 2? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Although it is mostly your wife's work. So either you're going to die from lack of sleep, or she'll kill you.
Well, let's just hope it's lack of sleep.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you one question, then we'll let Rudy
go.
The
only two options are dying, and he's picking one.
Right. Here's my question, and I don't have kids, but I've certainly had a lot of animals over the years. And what I have found is that the math is not like 2 is not twice as much as 1.
Right.
It's like 5 times as much as 1. Is that the same with babies, too?
Yeah, 1 is 1, 2 is 5.
Right, that's how it works.
Because you'll get 1 to sleep, and then the other one will wake him up. And you go, no, stop, no! And then that one's up. Yeah, that's a nightmare. Good luck.
Rudy, congratulations to you, though, to you and your wife.
Right.
Good luck, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate
bye-bye.
The call. All right, Chip, your friend Jeremiah Tustin, line 5, he's back. He's on the Dolphins bandwagon. The Dolphins, for folks who don't follow football, have just won 5 games in a row.
And no one's talking about it. Everyone's talking about the Cowboys. Everyone's talking about the Giants.
Because are they still the Dolphins?
Yeah, that's correct.
Still the Dolphins.
Including their improbable comeback in the last 4 minutes of the game against the Rams this weekend, where they scored twice to win a game that they had otherwise been shut out for most of.
But the Rams didn't really make it tough on them by putting up 10 points.
Yeah. And the Dolphins, the last 3 weeks, have come back from behind in three different ways. They came back against the Jets with a kickoff return for touchdown last week against the Chargers. Yeah, they came back with the defense, and then this was
all right. That's a good sign.
So where are you at here, Jeremiah?
Well, I'm driving on my way to work in Long Beach right now.
Right. I don't mean literally on the map. I mean in terms of your relationship with the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, I'm in love. Are you kidding me? We're 5 in a row in Tannehill all year.
You know, yeah. Maybe not all year, but he's come on the last, like, 5 weeks.
Jeremiah, do you know anything about the Dolphins for real?
Yeah, I actually do. I have a friend, Tony Harrigan. That's all I do is talk to him about it.
Oh, okay, I got you.
He's better at it than I am, but, you
know. No, I got you. I just wanted to make sure you weren't one of the fake bandwagon fans, that you actually knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, because this is a tight bandwagon.
Right,
like, I can't just let everybody on. Everyone's rushing, so I got to vet you out.
Yeah, right. Well, I know in 2 weeks we play Kevin's Cardinals. So
yeah,
I know
that's
going to be good.
Yeah, no. So that's a win. You got to win right there.
They win this weekend. Yeah, well, because they're going to lose when we play them. And
yeah. All right, Jeremiah, let me ask you this. We're out of time, so I'm glad you called back, but let me ask you this. Have you ever had the Dolphins break your heart?
Yes. Yes, okay. Last year when they played like crap. Yeah.
All right, then absolutely. You are a legitimate Dolphins fan. You have to be hurt to be a Dolphins fan.
Yeah. That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Well, you'll learn that on your own as well.
Yep.
Thanks for calling. What's good?
I was a little stressed out yesterday thinking about all the Christmas shopping that I have to do. And, you know, everybody's kind of in the same boat right now. Is you got to start thinking about who you need to buy presents for and what are you going to get that's going to work for them, it's going to make them happy. And then I realized that the answer is on my fingertips. I've got the internet. I can just go to goop.com and just buy whatever Gwyneth Paltrow is selling this year.
Yeah, because it's so affordable.
Yes. Listen to this, Kevin. Do you want, for instance, shall I buy you the $8,300 yurt? Is that what you want?
I don't think that's the little tent lean-to thing, right?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
I don't think I need that, no.
Or do you need the $2,500 collector's edition razor? Yes, a razor for your face to shave with that costs $2,500. Perhaps you want that instead.
Instead of the razors that are super affordable and work just as well?
Instead of the ones that you could buy for under $4. Yes, exactly.
No.
So we wanted to find out more about what Gwyneth Paltrow with her site called Goop.com has for the holiday gift guide this year, because I think there's a lot of stuff out there for many of our listeners who are in the same boat we're in that are looking to buy some stuff for Christmas.
Goop, Goop, bag, Goop, Goop, bag, Goop. Goop bag, goop bag, goop bag, goop, goop bag, goop, goop bag, goop, goop bag, goop bag, goop bag, goop.
See?
They have a theme song apparently Shoop. Also.
See, you get that? Because Shoop.
This is Lawrence Holloway. He is the spokesperson for Goop.com. Hey, Lawrence.
Please call me Lorenz.
Lorenz? I'm so sorry.
Thank
I didn't realize
you.
That. All right. Well, happy holidays to you. How are things over at Goop?
And festive holidays to you as well. Things are wonderful at Goop, as always.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the VP of Chic here at Goop.
You're the VP of Chic?
Yes.
What is that?
That's just the vice president of things that are stylish and wonderful and awesome.
Okay.
All right.
I help put together our fabulous catalog every year.
Well, I got to be honest. A lot of people are kind of making fun of your catalog as being ridiculous this year.
Well, they're just dumb.
Well,
because,
are they?
First of all, Gwyneth is a goddess, and everyone here at Goop is dedicated to women and what women need, and we always cater to all women everywhere.
All okay. Women that have a tremendous amount of money, though.
Well, let's face it. People with money are better.
I'm not positive.
And so it's better to have money than not have money, and we like to cater to those women who are smart and stylish enough to be wealthy.
Okay, look, but it's not. You can be, I don't want to argue with you about how difficult
well,
it is.
Well, there's nothing to argue about because I'm right.
Okay, but there are a lot of wonderful women who are chic and stylish and intelligent that don't necessarily have enough money to buy a $3,000 leather bicycle from your site.
But how great would it be if they could? Wouldn't they be happier if they could?
It's just not realistic, though, for people. A lot of people don't. If they had the money, wouldn't spend $3,000 on a leather bicycle.
Have you ever sat on a leather bike?
No.
Oh,
no.
My God. It's like just a French kiss for your butt.
He doesn't know what that is either, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, Lorenz, what sorts of things are you excited about in the Goop Holiday Catalog?
There's so many wonderful things. We've dedicated them into categories, depending on what person the gift is for.
Oh, okay.
We've got categories like hosts. If you're having a lot of people over, you need these things. Travelers. Health nuts, under 18, thinkers, cooks, all kinds of people.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have wonderful things like Dennis Hopper's record collection.
I saw that you're charging $150,000 for Dennis Hopper's record collection.
But it's over 100 LPs.
Right. Right. So that's why $150,000 is insane for this.
But some of them are the Beatles.
Right. You can download the Beatles or stream it for free right now.
But it's Dennis Hopper.
Right. He's an actor who
died.
He was
in movies.
Yeah, right, but it doesn't make the album any better.
But it's so cool to say to your friend, look, I have Dennis Hopper's Van Morrison album.
And then they'll say who?
And I'll say Speed. Pop quiz. Right?
Right.
All right. So what if I don't have $150,000? Surely
well,
you have something cheaper.
You're lucky today because we've just added some new items to the catalog.
Oh, great.
I haven't even made the website yet.
Okay.
So you get first dibs. Okay?
Okay. Dean will take whatever's first.
All right. First up, $1.7 million ant farm.
$1.7 million for ants?
Well, yes. It's 8.3 acres in Nantucket. It's an actual farm, and three of Gwyneth's aunts actually run the farm. And then we put the whole thing under glass, and you just get to watch them scurry around and work all day.
You put
that
the whole thing under glass.
Cool. That sounds
educational
pretty
educational
cool.
for the kids.
That sounds pretty
cool.
That
actually sounds pretty
watch
cool.
Watch how these grimy aunts work, because Gwyneth won't give them any money.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Awesome. We also have, for $750,000, a banjo made of human skin.
Okay, now that's troubling.
Oh, it's not like we skinned a human. Don't be gross.
You said it's made of human skin.
It is. We went to Lana Del Rey's esthetician, and she exfoliated her feet for 3 years, and we took all of the extra skin and pressed it into a banjo.
That's a pretty hot banjo.
Right?
Right.
And it's never out of tune, naturally.
That is quite a custom item right there.
It is. For $85,000, you can get the Goop Nipple Smoker.
I'm sorry, a nipple smoker?
A nipple smoker. It makes your nipples healthy by putting a smoker on it, like you'd smoke meat.
Right.
And it makes them rosy and very plump, and also infuses them with delicious flavors. You can get mesquite, barbecue, or creamy ranch.
Okay. Now you're
do
just
do people
stuff
need
up.
Barbecue nipples?
Seriously,
is that something people are clamoring for?
Have you ever tasted a barbecue nipple?
I can't say I have.
Well, get that. Get on your leather bicycle and go over there. Just okay. On a barbecued nipple.
Okay.
You'll be happier.
I will work on that.
For $87,000, we have a flatulence collector.
Oh.
Listen, you may not care about the planet, but we do here at Goop.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a new device that collects all your flatulence and then turns that natural gas into power.
Hmm.
It's like a CPAP for your butthole.
Okay, all right.
And I'll have you know, it's just so popular amongst our celebrity clients.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman's been using it for a year,
mm-hmm.
and John Goodman's flatulence actually powers the Sears Tower in Chicago right now.
By itself?
Yes.
That's impressive.
It's from John. And then we also have, finally, the Gwyneth Paltrow Goop Poop Jewelry Collection.
I don't like where this is going.
This is Gwyneth's actual poop.
Oh, no.
That has been laminated.
No.
And then coated with gold, silver, or platinum.
Nope.
And you can get a necklace. You can get a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a vial pendant. It's just a glass vial filled with something after a rough night at Ernie's Taco House.
You're not sure what it is?
We're not, but it dangles nicely, and it looks wonderful. Just don't unscrew the top.
No, never.
That's a good safety tip.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
Tanner Pearson from the Los Angeles Kings joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on KREC, along with actor Shia LaBeouf, whose new film called Man Down is essential viewing, by the way. We'll talk to Shia about that coming up. First, though, we're giving away some tickets to both nights of the sold-out KREC Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Yeah, you heard me right. You'll be there December 10th and 11th at the Forum to see two great shows. Kevin, you want to explain to folks who maybe are just tuning in how we're doing it today, because we're not making them use the phones today.
We are doing it with a scavenger hunt. For those of you that complain that the number is always busy, it's a scavenger hunt, so we gave you three items an hour ago, and now we're giving you three more items.
Collect them all!
You collect all the items. You meet Lightning at Pan Pacific Park, which is 7600 Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles, between 8 and 9, and then at 9 o'clock, there's a drawing if there's more than one, and if there's not more than one, you win both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Scavenger! A scavenger hunt is what we're gonna do. Better have the stuff with you. Lightning's in a bottle at Penn Park if you wanna go to Acoustic Night 1 and 2. Scavenger! A scavenger hunt is what we're gonna do. We have a list of items for you. Bring them all to Lightning and Penn Park so you don't have to eat a bunch of poo.
Oh, come on, okay, with the poo again.
I don't think that's the option.
Why is that always the closer?
You don't have to.
I love that we make Lightning go in the bottle again today,
yeah,
by the way.
For no,
there's
reason
no reason for it.
Right.
All right, so I'm going to repeat very briefly the original set of items that we were looking for in the scavenger hunt. And, Kevin, then you give the new ones for this hour, okay?
Right.
Here we go. Here's what you already have been alerted to, and this is going to be the last time we say these on the air. So these are among the first – these are the nine items that you want. Here are the first three. Any piece of L.A. Kings memorabilia.
For what? That's an honor. For what?
Because the band Kings of Leon is playing that
Kings
weekend.
Kings of Leon.
So any Kings memorabilia, that can be a jersey, it can be a hat, it can be a ticket stub, it can be a bumper sticker, it can be a banner, whatever you got, okay? So that's item number one. Item number two, in honor of Beck, whose last name, of course, in real life is Campbell, we're looking for a can of Campbell's soup.
Oh, can of Campbell's soup.
Who doesn't have a can of Campbell's soup already?
You're
in
bringing
the
this to life, Ralph.
Thanks.
And the third item in the set of the first three is a March 2016 calendar page with St. Patrick's Day circled. So you rip out the March calendar page from a calendar. St. Patrick's Day is circled. Why? Because
Day.
Green Day.
Because people wear green on St. Patrick's Day.
That's correct, yes. So those are the first three items. Now it's time to unveil three more for the scavenger hunt to win the tickets.
Drums!
I knew it was coming.
Weezer is playing night two, and in honor of Weezer, we need an asthma inhaler.
People with asthma wheeze.
Right.
I love this.
An asthma inhaler. That's the first one. The second one is based on Bishop Briggs.
Oh, I love her.
No drum for this one, Bean, because I feel like this is just as good. A bishop from a chess set.
I don't get the tie-in at all there.
Bishop.
I'm sorry. What?
The name is Bishop.
Oh, Bishop Briggs.
Bishop
from
a chess set. Right.
That's the pointy one with the hat.
And the third group is Group Love, and what we need is a family photo featuring you.
Because your family loves you and you're in the group.
They don't have to love you. You just have to be in a picture with them.
There's love. It's a group love. It's a family of love, and it's a group. A family is a group of love.
Right. So those are the six items that you need. And if nobody gets there, we'll take as many as, you know, the person with the most will win. But if more people get there and have a ball, then we'll do a drawing. Was that unclear? Okay, let me try that again.
I'm looking forward to, if nobody gets there, how this game will resolve
itself.
If nobody
gets there with all nine items, then whoever has the most will win.
Ah.
Yes.
I see.
If more than one person gets there with all nine items, then
right,
we do a drawing.
I see.
Okay.
Very clear.
Yep.
Thank you.
Crystal.
All right. Once again, the three new items are an asthma inhaler for Weezer, a bishop from a chess set for Bishop Briggs, and a family photo featuring you, Group Love. Add those together with the first three. Now you're two-thirds of the way there to getting all nine. And again, Lightning between 8 and 9 is going to be at the Pan Pacific Park, 7600 Beverly Boulevard, Los Angeles, right across from the Grove. And the grand prize drawing, if needed, is going to be at 9 a.m.
Scavenger!
Oh, man.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Groove
on. Rob is here now. Time for a look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What the hell's going on?
That was Groovus Interruptus right there.
sure was.
Breaking news. We have a breaking news bulletin.
Oh,
Why are the kids cheering for breaking news?
Because I think the kids know what it is.
They love breaking news.
The kids like to stay current.
The kids were excited about what they're about to hear.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
That's right. The Grammys have...
And now, breaking news bulletin.
The Grammys have announced their host for the 59th Annual Grammy Awards, which will air on February 12th. James Corden.
Yeah.
James Corden.
Really?
Makes sense. CBS will be broadcasting the yearly music awards
show. I just expected you to say LL Cool J again.
No. LL is out. Corden is in. People will get to see James Corden hosting. I think it's a great idea.
He's a
Make
great
some
guy.
Noise.
Oh, sorry, LL. Yeah.
He's a great guy to host that show.
He'll be great. He'll be entertaining. He'll be humorous. He'll be warm. He'll be accommodating. And he will not lick his lips and make Beam lose his mind. Yeah. So.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
O.J. Jackson Jr. It's good times.
By the way, found this piece of tape. This is James Corden after the Grammys last year doing carpool karaoke with Justin Bieber, mm-hmm. talking about the Grammys show that had just aired.
Okay. How good was the Grammys? I loved it.
I enjoyed it, man.
How good was LL Cool J? What a host.
Did you see when he did this?
Oh!
He licked his lips.
Greatest moment of the whole night.
So even he was mocking LL Cool J for licking his lips during the Grammys.
But James thought it was the greatest moment of the whole night.
Yeah, he said, ironically.
You understand you're on Bieber's side now.
As long as LL Cool J isn't hosting the Grammys, I'm happy. I'll be on anybody's side.
Ironically, I flashed on this. I couldn't help myself. Have you seen this video from The Atlantic, this documentary they're doing about this guy Spencer, who's the head of the white nationalist organization? They just had a meeting post-Trump's election where they got together in Washington, D.C., about 250 of them. And at the end of his speech, he said, "Hail Trump, hail victory, hail our people." And everyone, several of the people in the audience gave the Nazi salute back to him.
Right.
Chilling, disturbing images.
Mm-hmm.
Came out this morning and said they were being ironic.
They were being funny.
They were being cheeky, he said. Oh. He literally used the words cheeky and ironic. Those were the cheeky Nazis. So no one panic.
The cheeky Nazis are cool.
They were the cheeky ironic Nazis.
Well, I saw them at the Troub last night.
Weren't they great?
Oh, man, they put on a good show.
The ironic Nazis. They meant the opposite of that. They meant we love all kinds of minorities. That's the irony, see? You don't get it. It's like having 10,000 spoons when all you need is a fork.
Right?
It's ironic, just like that. Here's some good news for Disney fans, especially those who love Huey, Dewey, and Louie. DuckTales are coming back. Oh, yeah, give me a little DuckTales.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery.
Sure, might.
Or rewrite history. DuckTales.
DuckTales.
Every day.
Is that a good show, Ralph?
Oh, so good.
How long is this?
DuckTales. About an hour and a half.
Okay.
The whole show is opening credits. DuckTales.
All right.
Okay. All right. DuckTales.
Okay.
DuckTales. DuckTales.
DuckTales.
Woohoo! All right. DuckTales.
Verse 2.
Oh. DuckTales. It's coming back to television.
That's a long, long theme, that one.
Oh, you don't get it, man.
I don't get it. Never watched DuckTales.
Disney has filed paperwork to create children's juice, soft drinks, toys, games, and other goodies based on the series, which has given the indicator that they're ready to re-up a whole new set of episodes of DuckTales. So everybody will be
returned
to the small screen next year, which is good news.
And the Huey, Dewey, and Louie, that is Donald Duck's nephews, right?
It is indeed.
Right. Man.
Wow. You know your duck family tree well. And Donald's girlfriend, of course, Kevin, was?
Tallulah.
Nope. Daisy. Daisy Duck was the answer we were looking for.
Sure.
But thanks for playing. Today's celebrity birthday.
Tallulah was his side piece.
Nope. There was no side piece. There was no Tallulah.
But they're going to modernize the show for
no,
2016.
Right.
He's probably
going to
have a
side
piece.
There will be
right?
No Tallulah. Remember Darkwing Duck? Oh, Darkwing. That was pretty. No, that's
the wrong
theme
for that one?
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born on November 22nd. Jamie Lee Curtis celebrates her 58th birthday today. She, of course, from Scream Queens and the OG Halloween. Let's not forget that. And Trading Places. Remember Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd? It's a funny film. Mads Mikkelsen. He was Hannibal on television, but also can be seen in Doctor Strange these days. He's 51 years old today. Mark Ruffalo, the Hulkster. He is 49.
That's right, brother.
No, not Hulk Hogan, the green one. And Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow. So you have the bad guy from Doctor Strange, the Hulk, and the Black Widow all celebrating birthdays today. It's a good time.
It's a beautiful day.
Marvel Land. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's 1 hour from now. We're talking to Tanner Pearson from the LA Kings. And then Shia LaBeouf joins us in studio.
Very That's going to be fun.
Yep.
Kathy Bates on the program tomorrow, too, from Bad Santa 2.
How about that?
I know, right?
I feel like we should bring in somebody that's a better interviewer to do that.
I do, too. We're wasting a lot of good guests on just Kevin and Bean. All right. How was this topic brought to our attention that it's something we need to talk about?
I think it was Cody.
The joy of having your credit card declined. The more embarrassing the situation, the better. Look.
Remember, I was on Atlanta as well.
Oh, that's right. It did happen on Atlanta. That's right. I don't know anybody, no matter how close attention you pay to your finances, no matter how good your credit is, I don't know anybody who hasn't at one point in their life had their credit card declined.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's not. But the more embarrassing the situation, the happier I am. And we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 to hear your stories. Who's on the phone?
Cody.
Hey,
Cody.
Going on, guys?
How are you, man?
Cody works here at K-Rock. He's responsible for a lot of the great content, context you see at krock.com. Content, I think is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I think so.
And Cody, I understand this happened to you recently.
Yes, it did, actually.
Explain it to us in excruciating detail.
Oh, excruciating.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, my girlfriend's family took me on their family vacation to Puerto Vallarta. And each night of the week, like, someone new picked up the dinner tab. So her parents picked it up one night, her grandparents another night.
All right, how many people total?
Brothers. There was 10 of us.
10 of us. Okay.
Wow, so, that's a heavy hit, man. That's a big meal.
Yes, it was. So the week before was her parents' anniversary. The week after was her grandparents' anniversary. So I low-key, like, order a couple bottles of champagne when we first get there, you know, trying to put on a good impression. But, you know, everyone's ordering these nice expensive meals. The bill's stacking up. But I'm like, hey, guys. I got this. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Why did you start with the champagne? I would think I would, if somebody asked for it, I'd go, sure, of course.
No, I just had to surprise them. Like,
right.
They bought some bottles of wine to dinner, and I was like, you know what? It's a special occasion.
So you were like, this is how I roll.
That's yeah, right. It's the last night of vacation. Like, everything was a great time. Let's bring some champagne out.
All right.
So, and now, yeah, and now everybody's, you know, looking around the table because let's face it, you're just dating, so you're not in the family yet. So, but they're secretly judging you, and they're thinking, wow, this is a stand-up guy.
Oh, absolutely. So we're having this great meal, and, you know, it comes time to pay. The waitress walks up. I low-key just kind of hand her my card. I was like, oh, we're all good. And she's like, you know, champagne on this as well? I was like, yes, everything's going to go on this card. So she walked away, and it was gone for probably about 10 minutes. And I'm just starting to get nervous. I'm like, my stomach's just chewing up on the inside, knowing something's going wrong.
Yeah, there could be two things. I mean, maybe she's helping somebody else. She got sidetracked. Or yeah, she's running your credit card and it's coming back negative.
Yeah, it was taking way longer than just helping someone out.
Okay.
So she comes back and kind of ushers me over, and I walk over and she's like, hey, so I didn't ring you up for the champagne first. I ran at your card, and then I canceled it, and then I tried to run it again for the full amount, and it got declined.
Mm. Oh, so she forgot to put the champagne on it. Then it looked to the bank like it was two separate charges at the same time?
Right. So she's assuring me it's not my fault, but do I have another card? And I'm like, no, I brought my card for this. I used it yesterday and it was fine. So I didn't have, you know, it was a $400 dinner or something. I didn't have just $400 on me.
Right.
So I literally had to, like, look at my girlfriend and I was like, hey, can I borrow your card? And literally I can just see all of her family just exchanging glances, just
sure.
Disappointed, like,
we knew
come
it.
On, guys.
All of them were thinking, we knew it.
We knew it. This guy's no good.
This guy sucks.
So
fortunately, when I explained the situation to them, they were all very understanding. But
yeah, it sounds like the waitress horked you, right? Like, that was the problem, was how she handled it.
I got screwed. I got screwed for sure.
It sounds like it. But you're never going to repay that money to your girlfriend's card, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
That's the right move. All right.
That must have been the most awkward moment of your life, with the realization spread across the table that your card had been declined.
Well, and it's not just my girlfriend. It's her parents.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yes,
grandparents.
It's everyone. They're all looking at me with those judging faces. But like I said, fortunately, they turned it around and it was all good after. But
well, we'll see if it's all good.
Yeah, good times, yeah. Cody. Thank you so much for jumping on. We really appreciate it, sir.
Absolutely, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Kevin, when was the last time you had a credit card declined?
This might surprise you, but I have a lot of fraud.
Really?
Or I claim a lot of fraud.
In other words, your card gets used by other people a lot of the time, and it's not you, so your card gets turned off because they've detected fraud, you mean? I see.
But I also have two, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done this more than I can count.
Yeah.
So it's not good. They used to come up and say, in front of everybody, your credit card's been declined. You know, now they're a little bit more on the down low because they know you're embarrassed about it. But for God's sakes, they used to take a megaphone and shout it to the entire restaurant.
It hasn't been that long for me, by the way. This might surprise you, Kevin, because I usually keep things, my ducks in a row pretty much. But I bought a new TV when I moved to Louisiana. And I was at the Best Buy, and it's a fairly lengthy process to go through to buy a TV, a big ticket item like that. And you feel like the clerk has invested a lot of time in you, and then you get to that moment of truth where you run your card, and it got declined. And I was so furious because I was convinced what had happened was that the credit card declined it because they saw that I wasn't in my normal city where I lived for all those years. They saw a charge pop up in Louisiana and didn't know why, so they declined it. So I called the credit card company and pretty much started yelling at them. You guys should know better than this, blah, 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 blah. And it turned out there was just something wrong with their credit card machine. There was nothing wrong with the card. The problem was in the connection to the credit card machine. That's why it was declined. Anybody's credit card would have been declined because the machine wasn't working properly. And the person on the other end of the phone...
Ladies and gentlemen, the man in aisle four cannot pay for his TV.
Yes.
The man in aisle four has no money. Do not serve him.
The person that I was on the phone with that I pretty much just cussed out for declining my card ended up having nothing to do with it whatsoever. And he let me know that I was way, way, way in the wrong. So I was embarrassed
that
on...
poor bastard.
So I was embarrassed on either end. I was embarrassed in front of the Best Buy clerk, and then I was also embarrassed by the customer service people at the credit card
company. A rare double loss.
It was a lose-lose. It was a lose-lose. For sure. All right, let's take a quick call before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try Max in Pasadena? He's on line three. We're taking your stories of embarrassing credit card declines. Max, what happened to you, sir?
Yeah, so I was working at, I'm not going to say the name, but I was working at a grocery market, let's just say.
Which one?
it's one of you guys' favorites, can you guess?
Trader Joe's. That's an expensive one. Yes?
Working at Trader Joe's. And you know you're supposed to be perky and upbeat and everything, keep the mood lively, keep the customers happy. So up on the machine pops insufficient funds, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, not really sure what that was. So I just yell out in front of the entire store, insufficient funds, and got the managers running over. I was thoroughly embarrassed once I realized what I had done. The poor customer was just sinking into the ground. I felt terrible about it.
So Kevin was joking about making an announcement over the PA. You essentially did that to everyone within earshot.
I think it might have been Kevin, yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it was
if it was
bad.
Me. What's
that?
I said, wouldn't it be funny if it was me?
It would have been. It was one of my first weeks on the job. It was... one of my last weeks on the job.
Yeah, I am one of your last weeks on the job. All right, Max, thank you for the call. So he's the bad man who declined someone's credit card. We want to hear your stories, too. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you right after this on Kit Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, I took my girlfriend of 3 months to San Francisco for a weekend vacation. We get to the hotel I booked. We check in, and the clerk tells me my card has been declined. I had to ask a girl I had only known for 3 months for $800 until we got back home. Worst vacation ever. Yeah, that does kind of put a pall over the weekend, doesn't it, a little bit, when she thinks she's going there for a romantic weekend that you're paying for. All right, we're taking your calls on credit card decline stories, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line four. Let's see what Tony and Pico Rivera was trying to buy when he was told, no, sir.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, long story short, I was Christmas shopping many moons ago, and with my girlfriend, we're trying to buy her something. We went to the store, it was getting declined. I said, wait a minute. And I was 18 at the time, and I was like, hey, Amal, I got money.
But wait, it was declined more than once?
It was even declined more than once because I had a credit union, and I told them, hey, go ahead and run it because they will usually vouch for the credit.
Right.
And I said, you know what? I was being a high heavens, Amal. Let's call this right now together. So I called my credit union. We're on three-way. And they said, well, you have an 800 number here charging you $21.95 every month. And I said, that's a credit fraud. You know, I was dumb and young. So when we called the three-way number together, she put it on hold, and we actually transferred the line. It comes up saying, hey, thank you for calling Girls Gone Wild, and please hold for your next wild representative. The funny thing is that it wasn't for me. I recall my friend, he actually wanted me to order them for
right,
him.
Right, your friend.
Yeah, it was your friend.
Right, your friend.
But okay. This is the funny thing. He kept getting them every month because he never said no to the contuity. So when I, hey, what happened to this? I got these videos here. I just thought they were free samples. long story short, he paid me back and we canceled it. But it was funny just being stuck in a three-way and like, yeah, it's credit fraud. And to hear the voices of this girl has gone wild.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm sure your girlfriend appreciated it as well. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Stacy. She's in Yucaipa, line five, please. She has a very sad story about what happened when her card was declined.
Hey, Stacy.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I don't normally shop at Walmart, but I just stopped in for a couple items because I was nearby. And after the cashier obviously rang everything up, I slid my card and it declined. And I think obviously they probably deal with that on a regular basis. She's all, well, you know, this happens a lot. We could try just a few items. No, I swear I just got paid today. There's money there. So we try a different card. Also declined. So we go outside, make a call to my bank, and it's fraud, apparently, at Walmart.
Oh.
Go back in. She checks my entire cart back out again, and it's declined again. I end up leaving Walmart with no item.
Oh. That's a lot of time invested to walk out of there with nothing but a sad face, isn't it?
All at Walmart, too.
That sucks.
Probably the worst place, because everybody already assumes you probably don't have as much money.
And there's always a long line of people behind you.
Yes,
oh,
that's right.
Oh, it was just the worst. Yeah. I think by the time I was walking out of there, my face was completely bright red. I ended up switching banks after that.
Thank you, Stacey. Appreciate the call. Let's go to line 7. More Parker's going to be Joe. He's got a story. He's traveling, and his credit card has declined. That's a little extra kind of danger, right?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's happening? Yeah, I was in planning a trip to Costa Rica for 2 weeks. Got to Costa Rica, landed in Liberia, went to go rent the car to start my journey with the wife, and the credit card was declined.
Now, what do you do when you're in Costa Rica trying to rent a car and you got no credit card?
Right? You're done. I had to get a bus. It was like 200 miles to where I needed to go to the hotel to start the trip.
But a bus is impressive for a woman.
Yeah, dragging all the luggage that we overpacked. It was great.
Oh, man.
Did you ever figure out what the problem was?
Yeah, so I had gotten a new credit card, and I thought it was turned on.
Ah.
But when I got to Costa Rica, it wasn't. And then trying to call, you know, the 800 states number to get the credit card turned on in Costa Rica is a little tricky.
Yeah, I imagine so. All right, sir, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Valley Village and talk to Coral. By the way, Kevin, speaking of Valley Village, hang on, Coral, 1 second. This is a brief aside. Do you go to the Gelsons there at Valley Village?
No.
Okay.
Why?
Because there was
a strange question.
A couple was in there trying to steal orange juice yesterday, and a 70-year-old customer stepped in to try to help the security guard apprehend them, and he got stabbed.
Oh, no.
At the Gelson's in Valley Village, and I felt for sure that was probably your supermarket. Hey,
you,
Coral,
how about stabbing, too?
How about you, Coral? You go to that Gelson's?
I have been there. I can't believe someone got stabbed.
It's got like stabbed. A 70-year-old dude got stabbed trying to help protect a security guard. So I'm just saying, be careful out there in Valley Village. I know that's not what we're talking about, but that's a free warning
that's
for you.
That's considered like a high-end market.
Sure.
That's
what I thought, too, but apparently not,
oh
man. All right, what happened with your credit card?
Okay, basically, hi, guys. First of all, good morning.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, I went to Yogurtland with my husband, and we went late one Saturday night, so we go, we get our yogurt, we're all excited, we put like a million toppings, and you know, yogurt, it comes out to like, I don't know, like $7, it's really not a big deal. So my husband didn't have his wallet on him, it was just me. I had, you know, I paid with my debit card, and it was declined, and it's like, dude, you don't have $7 that you can't pay for yogurt. And then I'm thinking about it, and I guess it was when they made that switch to the stupid chip, and like they, you know, they turned off like people's cards until you got a new one. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, why is it declining $7? I'm like, okay. So of course I take out the only other card I have, which is a Discover card, and lo and behold, they do not accept that there. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, what are we gonna do? So I look at my husband, and I'm like, oh, okay, why don't we go to the car and get your wallet? So we literally just ditched. We left our yogurt there. We were so embarrassed.
Oh.
And we just left. So we didn't get yogurt, and I was pretty traumatized. $7 worth of yogurt.
Wow.
And you were so excited about that yogurt with all the toppings, and you had to walk away from it and have it just be wasted. Why didn't you just, why didn't your eyes meet your boyfriend's eyes and you just take the yogurt and run?
We should have done that,
right?
And just never gone back there again.
Just move.
Anyways, you don't go to that yogurt land anymore just because we're scared someone will, you know, see us
recognize
there.
You. Yeah, it's too embarrassing.
I know, so embarrassing.
All right, Coral, thanks for the call. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
FedEx Ambassadors, by the way, we've been lucky enough to see live a couple of times at K-Rock shows. They are great, and you will love them at night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 show coming up on Saturday, December 11th. We're giving away tickets to that show and the following night, night number two at the Forum. We are playing a scavenger hunt here this morning, and we'll give you the new list of items that you need to try to win those tickets for both nights coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock.
I've never heard of this before, but a woman had a dress delivered. She bought it online.
She had a new beautiful dress that was delivered. And the look on the girl's face when she realized that the purchase came with a stunning surprise, a mouse skeleton sewn into the garment. Now, it doesn't say that it ate its way in. It says it was sewn in.
That just seems like somebody who's making a dress is not paying attention if a mouse is able to crawl into the work that you're doing, right? I would think almost anybody would notice that.
I can't imagine everybody wouldn't notice that. The mouse appears to have climbed into the dress while it was being sewn and taken a nap there and then died after it was sewn in.
Mm. So she got a dress delivered in the mail with a mouse skeleton sewn into the hem,
yes.
Basically. I mean,
that seems bad.
That can't be on purpose. That can't be a trend, right?
Well, I hope not.
Please tell me that's not a trend. Please tell me that's not a new thing we're doing where we're sewing little baby skeletons into dresses.
Well, we do have an expert, thank God. Dave has lined up for us from Nick's House of Fashion. Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Nick here.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, I want to correct your guy there. One of your guys said that we're sewing baby skeletons into dresses. No, it was a mouse.
Mouse skeleton.
Oh, it was a full-grown mouse. I apologize.
No, it wasn't
okay.
A full-grown mouse. You said don't sew baby skeletons into dresses.
I see.
That's gross.
Okay, so.
This was a mouse. It wasn't like a human baby.
So you're saying mice are fine.
Not fine. Look, it's not ideal.
Why?
Well, what do you want?
I want a dress without a mouse.
Oh, all right, Queen of England.
Now, you're sure that you're Nick from Nick's House of Fashion?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm Nick from Nick's House of Fashion, yeah.
Okay, you don't sound like the kind of guy that I would expect necessarily that would be a fashion designer.
Oh, that's racist.
Right? Well, I don't know that it's racist,
or
but
sexist
I just...
or something.
There's a lot wrong with it.
Look, I'm working hard. I got a factory here. I'm making dresses. What do you want from me?
Yeah, it sounds like that noise on the phone that I'm hearing, Nick, those aren't other mice, are they?
We got mice. Yeah, we got mice. The factory's loaded with them. We got mice. I'm not going to lie to you. We got mice.
Okay. Right. Have you tried to somehow get rid of them? Did you put out the glue traps at all?
No, I want to be surrounded by mice.
Hey, you're the one that's sewing it into a dress. Don't yell at me.
Of course I'm trying to get rid of them. What do you want from me?
I want you to get rid of them before you ship the dress.
Oh, okay, Dr. Terminus.
That's too much.
Why don't you come down here and take care of my mice?
That's too much for me
to
expect.
Get your ass out here to Pennsauk in New Jersey, and you get rid of all the mice in my factory. I tried everything. I tried bait. I tried traps. I tried glue pads. We had a cat. Unfortunately, I sewed the cat up into a parka.
Oh, wow.
And we shipped it out.
You don't seem like you're very good at this.
I work quickly, okay? I'm one guy. I'm making a ton of dresses.
Right.
I'm a house of fashion. I got to make shorts. I got to make shirts. I got to make suits. I got to make dresses. I've got to make stoles. I got to make culottes. I got to make jumpers. I got to make pantsuits. And I do what I can. And I got it. Once in a while, a mouse gets sewn into it. What do you want from me?
I can hear a lot of mice there. It sounds like maybe that's happened.
Right, exactly. So I should be given some credit for less mice being
no,
sewn
but
into
I'm
my
saying
clothing.
A person
we have
that's
so many mice and rats and roaches.
Right, but
and
that's not the
lizards.
That's not our fault.
And iguanas. We got all kinds of things here. And you're complaining about one mouse? I should get a freaking award. I should get the Medal of Honor for not sending everything I got here out with a mouse.
We didn't realize your job was quite so challenging, Nick.
Why don't you make some dresses and see how mouse-free you are?
I don't see that happening.
Last week I sent out a hat with a dog in it.
What?
Oh,
that's
really?
Impossible.
Yeah, it was awful. But it keeps your head very warm because it was a big dog.
Okay.
I'll bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat, but first, let's help you win some tickets for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Abort! Whoa. Abort! So funny. Well, I was starting the music.
Abort music!
And then I realized it.
Yeah, we're doing the thing,
We're doing the thing first, right.
Well, it's on the list, Kevin. So
right.
It says right here, we do the thing now.
Remember Lightning in a Bottle from yesterday where we sent our friend Lightning out and made him dress up like a bottle?
Those were good times.
Yeah, those were good times.
I miss those days.
Well, he's back out in the bottle today, although you don't have to find him because we're going to tell you exactly where he is. Lightning is at the Pan Pacific Park, 7600 Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles. He is in the Beverly Curson parking lot. There are several parking lots there at Pan Pacific Park. That's the one where he is. So
Beverly's the best.
I love the Beverly.
That's the
Kirsten.
Best one. Yeah,
yeah. She's the best.
You look for lightning there, and we are doing a scavenger hunt this morning where we have been giving you items to collect and get as many of them as you can. And then at 9 o'clock this morning, if somebody shows up and they have all 9 items that we will have described, that person is going to be the winner. If there are multiple people with 9 items, then we'll do a grand prize drawing. If no one's there with 9 items, whoever has the most wins the tickets to both nights. Now, where are we right now, Kevin?
We're in the studio.
No, Kevin, we are 6 oh, items in. We've already given off the list of 6 items that you need to collect to complete the scavenger hunt. We need 3 more to make a total of 9.
And we're ready to do that now.
Scavenger, a scavenger hunt is what we're gonna do. Better have the stuff with you. Lightning's in a bottle, FM Park, if you wanna go to Acoustic Night 1 and 2. Scavenger, a scavenger hunt is what we're gonna do. We have a list of items for you. Bring them all to Lightning and FM Park so you don't have to eat a bunch of poo.
No poo will be eaten.
No one's eating poo.
Now, the goal is to get all 9 so that if you're there and other people also have all 9 items on the scavenger hunt list, you will be entered into a drawing, and then one lucky person will get to go to both nights of Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Correct. Exactly. Now, before we unveil the final 3 items we are looking for, let me recap for you the items from an hour ago. Okay, these were last hour's items. An asthma inhaler in honor of the band Weezer performing at night number 2. Asthma inhaler. A bishop from a chess set. As you can imagine, that is because of Bishop Briggs also being on night number 2. And because the band Group Love is playing, a family photo featuring you. Those are last hour's 3 items that we were looking for. Now it's
now,
time
well,
for...
Some, hold on, one clarification. Some people were asking, does my family have to love me in the photo in order for the photo to be acceptable?
I don't think we're
making that distinction. If it's a fight, we're not going
to
accept
we
it?
We said no. Your family doesn't have to love
okay,
you.
Okay, so we will accept
it. Yes, you just need a picture with you and your family.
Okay. All right, so now you've heard 6 items in total. Now here's Kevin with the final 3 items for this morning's scavenger hunt.
All right. This is for the Strumbellas, formed in Toronto in 2008. We need a maple leaf.
Now appropriate for Toronto.
Right?
Yes.
Here's a question.
Have we verified that there are, in fact, maple trees in Southern California?
Oh, my God. Really?
Just want to make sure.
Are you asking that question?
I just want to make sure.
But here's my
question.
They're
all over Southern California.
Here's my question. Can it be on a shirt, a hat? It has to be an actual leaf.
I think you got to go pick up a leaf.
All right.
How hard is that?
I like it.
All right. By the way, there's tons of maple trees at Pan Pacific Park, by the way.
Okay. So just save that one for last.
Everyone relax. How do you not know there are maple trees in California, Bean?
Bean hasn't been here in 10 years.
Yeah, outsider.
First of all, I was positive there were trees, but I didn't want the fate of the nation to rest on me knowing what trees were in what state, okay?
The fate of the nation. Okay.
All right.
For AFI, which of course is a fire inside, you need a cigarette lighter. A cigarette lighter.
So you can have fire inside.
That's correct.
I like it.
And for the head and the heart, you need a Jack, King, or Queen of Hearts from the playing cards. Just bring a playing card, a Jack or a King or a Queen of Hearts.
Because that card would have a head on it and a heart.
That's very
right.
Clever.
Whoever
That's
did these is very, very sharp.
Really genius.
Very
Thank
smart.
You. I took a lot of time and I came up with this.
Yeah,
all right. So last hour, asthma inhaler, a bishop from a chess set, family photo featuring you. This hour, the new set of items are a maple leaf, a cigarette lighter, and a Jack, King, or Queen of Hearts playing card. You take those items to Lightning. He's the Pan Pacific Park. He should be there now, by the way, in the Beverly Curson parking lot. So between 8 and 9, you show up, and at 9 o'clock, we find out who wins tickets to both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Scavenger! A scavenger hunt is what we're gonna do. Better have the stuff with you.
By the way, when you see Lightning, congratulate him. He's still wearing the bottle.
Well, yeah, he's Lightning in a bottle.
Just because we liked it so much yesterday.
And you don't buy a costume like that and use it once.
Right?
No,
it's just wasted.
Your money's worth out of it.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Now that Kanye West has canceled the remainder of his St. Pablo tour, I guess he decided he needed a little rest because he was placed under observation in a Los Angeles area hospital yesterday for exhaustion. Observation for exhaustion.
Those don't seem to go together.
Well, listen, it's very difficult to diagnose exhaustion sometimes, so you need to put someone under observation to see if they have all the symptoms of exhaustion.
If it's
tiredness, extreme tiredness.
Right. That seems easy to read.
Frequent yawning.
Okay, that also easy to read.
Difficult time keeping your eyes open.
Right, I think you can see that.
How are you going to know unless you monitor these types of things? I think something's up.
Mm.
Police responded to a medical welfare call involving Kanye at around 1:20 p.m. local time. Paramedics arrived on the scene, and they said, "We're going to hospitalize you for your own health and safety."
I'm sorry for the realness.
And because you're so real, they said, we need to put you in hospital.
Did they say that?
For all your realness. He's got 37% more realness than the average person in his bloodstream. So I think they may need to run a little, some tests. Apparently, this also falls on the occasion of his wife having left Los Angeles yesterday morning in what is being described as a dispute about his temper tantrum and his quitting the rest of the tour. Perhaps there were some...
they were arguing about that, maybe?
Crosswords. So anyway, we'll keep you posted, but apparently he is very, very tired. And they also said he was some odd behavior. Like, just before he went to the hospital, he did flood his Instagram account with 99 captionless photos of a fashion line that isn't his. The Margiela fashion line. They took pictures of that and then just dumped 99 photos onto his Instagram with no captions.
That's what he was supposed to be doing. That's what he was doing instead of what he was supposed to be doing, which was performing for the fans who had bought tickets to see his show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or resting, it sounds like. He should have been resting.
Maybe a nap.
Resting should have been happening.
I heard that canceling the remaining dates on that St. Pablo tour will take $30 million out of Kanye's pockets, which may be why Kim was furious.
Mark Zuckerberg is going to really have to pony up again.
Right? He needs to get that loan in the mail. You know how much I love the porn parodies. I'm all about the porn parodies. We talked about the AVN Award nominations that were released last week, and I was just thrilled to see some of my favorites getting their just due. I was glad to see 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Sure.
They got nominated. The Vaginificent Seven, they were also nominated, which I thought was awesome. And, of course, our favorite, the Grinch Who Gaped Christmas, was also nominated.
I don't need that. I don't need the word gape ever in my life.
I need it
life.
All the time and everything.
I don't need it.
And so you can imagine how pleased I was when I got this press release this morning from our good friends at Wood Rocket Studios. They do good work over there at Wood Rocket. They're really, they're putting the porn parody business on their shoulders and carrying it with great pride. They've announced their latest film, The Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers.
Did you say Pounder?
The Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers. Yes. Story of...
That's a strong move.
Five young heroes who must put on their pink, yellow, green, black, and blue costumes and fight crime. And I wish I could name you all the Power Rangers, but I can't. I can
FCC
name some
rules?
Of them for you. Yeah. Willy.
Okay.
Sack. Creamy.
Oh, no.
And Rimberly. So the Safe for Work trailer is now available over at woodrocket.com if you want to check it out for yourself. But I'm glad to see that the Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers are getting out there.
Doing good work.
Entertain the kids. Woo! Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. First, I do want to mention, on behalf of myself and my buddy Kevin Smith, that Yoga Hosers, our feature film, is available today on Blu-ray and DVD, if you want to pick that up. Starring the lovely Lily Rose Depp and Harley Quinn Smith. They're both lovely and talented kids, and they were great in this film. And,
Ralph, did you get to do a commentary track for that at all?
I didn't. I did a little something for what they call the EPK, the Electronic Press Kit. I think they're going to attach that to the movie as well, where we talk about the movie backstage and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, those extras are fun if you actually buy the hard copy.
Yeah.
Tip here, get high.
It doesn't hurt.
Right.
When you're watching Yoga Hosers, I'll tell you that much. Certainly, one of the creators of the film created the film that way, so perhaps that's the way it's best.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though.
Right.
I'm going to get very high tonight.
High first.
Okay. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, mother f***ing Tupac.
And just pop in Yoga Hosers, then, if that's your situation.
Who's less like Tupac?
Also available on DVD today, Hands of Stone. Great story of... you know, the boxer.
The guy with the fists.
The ones with the hands of
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Roberto Duran. Roberto Duran.
That guy, yeah.
War Dogs, a movie I liked a lot with Miles Teller and Jonah Hill, also available today. Mechanic Resurrection with Jason Statham. Hell or High Water, Chris Pine's new film with Bridges.
Bridges. Yeah, that's really good.
That's a great film. And Kubo and the Two Strings, also a great film from 2016. So you can check those out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jamie Lee Curtis is 58 years old today. Mads Mikkelsen, very talented actor, turns 51. Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk himself, is 49. And Scarlett Johansson, his Avengers co-star Black Widow. She is 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Shia LaBeouf joins us in studio in about 15 minutes talking about his new film, Man Down, among other things, coming up here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, Kevin, I'm looking at this, your Los Angeles, your beloved Los Angeles Kings, looking at this schedule. They play tomorrow at home against the Islanders.
Yep.
Thursday and Friday, Thanksgiving Thursday, and then Friday off. Then play again Saturday in Chicago, at home versus Chicago. That's a pretty sweet holiday schedule right there, to be at home and have Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving Friday off.
And left winger for the Kings, Tanner Pearson, who joins us now, already celebrated Thanksgiving in Canada.
Yes, I did. How's it going, guys?
It's going well.
Great. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, anytime.
So you'll also celebrate American Thanksgiving, right? So it's a win-win for you.
Yeah, I get two turkey dinners.
Sweet. I mean, I look at that schedule, and I know how brutal it is playing hockey all year long. It's a long season with a lot of traveling, and you're away from home and your family a lot and everything, and I know that sucks. But when it falls like this, it must feel pretty sweet. This is a pretty lucky week to be an LA King.
Yeah, we have definitely had a hectic schedule so far, and the whole out east trip, but to get the I think we have 7 games in over 3 weeks here, so that's going to be a nice little break for us, but gotta stay focused.
I got to tell you, at or near number one in the Pacific Division, to me as a fan, doesn't really matter that much. Does it matter to you guys? I mean, it obviously matters that you get momentum when you need the momentum. Do you care now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always want to be at the top of the division and conference and, outplan those teams, but right now it's, still early in the season and still got a lot of time to get up there.
Yeah, wire to wire is a tough goal, that's for sure. And, we talk about this all the time with momentum, and it feels like you could burn yourself out by trying too hard too early in the season. You really do have to kind of pace yourself on such a long season, I think.
Yeah, I think, you see teams, have the unbelievable start, the 9-0s, 10-0s, and then all of a sudden they don't make the playoffs, and I don't know if it's because too high off those 10 games and you don't stay with it. So maybe it's good to get a little controversy and get things going again.
I have two questions for you about being a goal scorer. Your left wing, you scored 7 goals this year. It feels like, I don't know what your batting average is as far as shots, but it feels like so many of them don't go in. Does that get to be a bummer, and are there long periods of time where you don't score, where you think, I'm doing everything right, I'm just not getting the breaks?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, those things, I think, you just got to produce a lot of shots, and, one's going to go in eventually, so you just got to be going to the right areas and, shooting lots of pucks every game, and one's going to go in.
All right, speaking of the right area, this is my real question, because that position where you have to go take it right in front of the goalie and you're supposed to block his view, and your guys are winding up and shooting the puck pretty much at you. I know that it's a really tough sport and nobody in hockey complains, but there's got to be times where you go, oh, this is going to suck, it's my turn, let's go.
Yeah, I think that's, part of the game. I think you just got to, have trust in your teammates not to hit you. I think when you move and try to go the way, that's the problem. I think if you just stand still, or, guys are good enough in this league to shoot the puck past you. So you just, stand there and hopefully it doesn't hit you.
It's not funny, but you can see when somebody gets hit, and you can tell that it hurts like a mother, and they just sort of make their way over to the bench, and then you guys come right back on. But I just think, wow, that's just got to suck to get hit with a puck like that.
Yeah, I think you look at a guy in Columbus, 2 nights ago, got a slap shot in the face. So, I mean,
yeah, it's not ideal.
That's never fun, but I don't know, it's the way she goes sometimes.
I think it was just wasn't it just a couple of weeks ago that a goalie, I think, who got hit in the face and lost a bunch of teeth.
Yeah,
the guy for the Lightning. I think that happened to him, right?
Lightning. Yeah, he took a puck right in the mouth, but the helmet didn't really do anything for him.
We always talk about this. We've had this discussion many times. This is the voice of Tanner Pearson from the Los Angeles Kings here on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We always talk about which athletes are the toughest, and we have decided by far it is the hockey guys. I mean, you will do anything to avoid being taken out of a game. You'll play with a broken leg if you have to, won't you, Tanner?
I think, guys, hockey players are kind of the character guys that, don't like missing out on stuff. I've been in the broken leg situation before. It's definitely no fun to sit out for a long period of time and watch your team out on the ice when you wish you could be there.
I got to tell you, I'm also a soccer fan, and it's a tough argument to have with hockey players because soccer players, they dive when there's not even a touch, and they roll around like they're in agony. Like they
got shot.
Like they may not live through it, and then they bounce up and run away, and that's a tough argument to have with a hockey fan.
I think along those lines, yeah.
Let me ask you about the outdoor rinks that you guys are sponsoring, because I drove by the Topanga Mall yesterday, and I think it said LA Kings, and it's literally an outside hockey rink.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's good. I think, you know, hockey is the biggest thing in California, but it's definitely getting bigger, and, you know, growing up for myself, having the outdoor rinks was always fun to go out and play shitting with the guys. So, you know, you talk to a lot of people out here, and, you know, not a lot of people know really how to skate, so to get them out, you know, we definitely have the weather for the outdoor rink, so it should be good for people to get out on the blades.
I did, when I was a kid, get kicked out of a hockey rink because I was playing my own game of hockey with a yo-yo. And I'm here to suggest that it worked as badly as you thought it did. And I got kicked out, and maybe don't do that would be my advice to people.
Yeah, are you playing yo-yo as a puck or what?
Yeah, we were using it as a puck. We didn't have a puck. Oh, it was open to everybody. Like, there were little kids skating around. It was a terrible idea.
Well, it's like mini sticks in the hotels growing up. You use, like, saran wrap or something to make a ball.
Yeah,
that's funny. Tanner, I know it sounds like a cliche when people always talk about Canadians and their love of hockey, but, I mean, are you one of those guys who knew from the time you were a little kid this is what you wanted to do for your life's work?
Yeah, I think a lot of kids growing up in Canada, it's, you know, what you want to do. You know, everyone's really hockey oriented, and you make a lot of friends growing up over the years, and you know, I'm still friends with those guys to this day, and it's it was definitely a long road, but I think, you know, that's the way it all goes for everyone, and, you know, everyone has the same mentality to get to the same spot. It's just, you know, who comes out on top.
Yep, and if you're just lucky enough to be able to continue to advance, you know, you play to a certain point, and then most guys have to go, well, now I got to go find a real job, and you were one of those people with the talent and the drive to just continue on and figure out a way to make it a career. I mean, you must just, to knock on wood every day, that's a lucky way to be.
It definitely is. You know, you always, you know, my friends always bug me about it and that kind of stuff, and, you know, what they're doing and what I got to do for a living. It's pretty special.
With Jonathan Quickhurt, a shout out to Budai,
yeah.
Who's playing out of his mind and really could not have seen this happening in 5 years, probably.
No, Boots is actually, you know, he's playing, he's on his game for sure. I think we saw it last year when a couple of our goalies went down and he came up, and, you know, he's held strong in there for us last year.
And how long until Quick is supposed to come back? I know you guys notoriously don't say, but first of the year, maybe?
No, actually, I have no idea. You know, Quickie's, I think he's progressing, but I don't know what his timetable is. So, you know, hopefully he gets back as quick as possible and 100%.
Yep. And the good news is, you know, you hate to lose a guy like that. He's one of the all-time greats, but you keep winning. And that's, you know, that's the mark of a good team, is you can lose a guy like that and still continue to rack up points.
Yeah, I think, you know, having that depth in a lot of positions, you know, helps us out. If a guy goes down, there's someone to step up and, you know, help the team win. So everyone's doing that right now, and we're at a good spot.
All right, unfortunately, we're out of time. If you would like to go to any of the skating outdoor locations, there's one at LA Live, there's one at Pike Outlet in Long Beach, there's one in Redondo Beach, there's one on the USS Iowa ship in Long Beach, and the Topanga Mall as well. You can enjoy that. And Tanner, we appreciate you coming on the show today, and best luck tomorrow night and for the rest of the season.
All right, guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thank you. This is exciting. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. Our next guest has had a film career of over 30 years and is getting the best reviews of his life recently with movies like Fury in 2014, earlier this year American Honey, and the new film opening everywhere December 2nd called Man Down. Please welcome Shia LaBeouf to the Kevin and Pete Show, you guys. Hey,
Shia. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor.
How you been?
I'm excited, a little nervous, you know, but excited to be here.
You grew up on K-Rock?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up on K-Rock per se. You know, I came from hip-hop, but all the rock that I ever did find in my life... I mean, the first concert, really, I went to was Acoustic Christmas at the Universal Amphitheater, System of a Down, and I remember they shut the show down because the top balcony was about to fall on people.
Oh, that was
That's
so
when they were
scary.
Moshing on the second floor.
Yes. Yeah.
And
whole
dudes
balcony.
Were jumping off.
I remember
that. There was a dude that jumped off the balcony.
There was no dude jumped off.
There was a dude who jumped off the balcony.
That's not true.
I'm telling you, there was a dude hanging off
no
the balcony.
There was no dude hanging off? Or jumped off.
Hanged off the balcony.
This is important.
The top floor. The top floor of the balcony. I remember. It was.
I do remember turning around thinking, that entire balcony is
fall.
Going
that's
to
not,
collapse.
That's not going to hold.
Yeah. And yeah. thousands will be killed. Yeah. This is not the Christmas spirit.
Still like the best show I ever went to in my life, actually.
Shai, was that the year where System of a Down led the crowd in honor of the baby Jesus in an F.U. chant?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes.
Nothing says Christmas like the F.U. chant.
I think they only had another year of doing shows after that, you know? I think it was like, you know, I was like the that was
yeah,
the
they broke
special.
Up for a long time.
Yeah.
Are you blaming us?
No, okay, no, I'm God. Saying it was special. It was special to be a part of it.
Shai, we have so much ground we want to cover, so many things we want to talk about, including your outstanding new film, Man Down, which
hey,
we will spend
so.
Plenty of time on. But I want to ask, because you mentioned you grew up hip-hop. So yeah. You grew up, did you go to a school where, with predominantly African-Americans, or how were you so ensconced in hip-hop so young in life?
Yeah, so I was in Echo Park before it became really the place to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was all Mexican down there. And so the equalizer was Tupac for me.
All right.
You know, and then they, you know, I started doing this actor thing and started meeting a bunch of kids from Orange County. And they started, that was a different influence. And so that's L.A. You know, L.A. is quite...
it's a melting pot.
Exactly. So all the rock that I ever, you know, the new rock, because my dad was Deep Purple. My dad was way into, like, that 80s hard rock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all his biker friends would listen to music. But that wasn't the rock of my time. So I didn't get into... System of a Down was really my first rock band. And mm-hmm. and because
that's
they were
a pretty
Armenian,
strong way to start.
Yeah, and they were Armenian and they were from Glendale. It just felt very accessible, you know. And so because we had Armenians at our school too, who were trying to look like Mexicans, and I was trying to look like Mexican. You know, we were all trying to fit in because none of us wanted to get jumped. It was a lot of fighting at my school. It was a public school, and if you were white, you got targeted. And this is in the 90s, you know.
Right.
So it was sort of like the way you could fit in was you had to break dance, you had to freestyle, you had to be able to snap on people. Yo mama jokes were big. These were the equalizers.
Now, I know you can freestyle, but can you dance?
No, not at all. I've tried.
Where did the acting bug bite you, Shia?
It was the only export available to me. Rapping was not reality, right? Because
not we, good enough to
not a re- yeah. I'm garbage.
You're good. I don't think you're garbage, but you're. I don't know that anyone. Most people are not good enough to get out of what their situation.
Right. So and there was no Eminem at the time, so it was sort of like, you know, this is not in the cards, my guy. And college was not in the cards because my parents couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was either going to be you were going to be in a rock band or you were going to be an actor. And none of my friends played instruments at the time. They do now. They
would
grown.
You have been if you had friends? You like music that much?
I love music, yeah. Man. Yeah, yeah. That's the informs everything for sure. Yeah, it's huge.
So you decide you want to go into acting like thousands and thousands and thousands of other kids do in Southern California. Mm. What's your first big break?
I got an Oreo O's commercial. They were doing a cereal. It's when Oreos tried to get in the cereal business.
How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Yeah. Were you adorable, Shia?
I was super adorable, bro.
That's a strange question, but I like your answer.
And so then it's just climbing the ladder. You get one commercial, then you get another one, and then you what? Get a small part in a TV show, and the next thing you know, you get a bigger part in a TV show, and then it just goes from there?
You said it, yeah.
That was it, huh?
That was it.
And Even Stevens, which you were the star of for a number of years, right? That was a Disney show?
Yeah, it was.
So that's a big deal. That really puts you on the map in Hollywood.
Huge. Yeah, huge. But, you know, and you're 12 years old. See, Disney Channel wasn't cool, right? If you listen to Kiss FM, you got beat up. You know, this is my neighborhood. So, like,
right.
So like you could be K-Rock if you were one of the skater kids, or you could be Power 106, but there was nothing else. There was nowhere else you could go, right?
Right.
And so Disney Channel was like Kiss FM. So I had to, like, hide the fact that I was on a TV show, you know? And my dad's in a Mongol biker club, so all the kids that I used to hang out with were really, like, you know, they came up in a certain kind of environment, and they weren't watching Even Stevens. You know,
right.
You were watching Pulp Fiction. So it was this weird disparity where my dad would drive me to set on the back of his motorcycle. I'd get off. My dad would sit in the lobby with all his friends, and then I'd go off and make this little kid show. It's super crazy, man.
None of his friends or him would ever come wonder what's going on in
no,
there?
No.
You go do your thing. We're not going to be there.
Seriously.
Do you ride?
I did for a little bit, yeah, and then I messed my hand up, and so I find it harder to clutch now because my middle finger's all messed up. But, yeah, I used to write quite a bit.
That was a lot of drama growing up
It didn't feel like drama. It was just life. It didn't feel
But a
like
lot of identity crisis, though, it sounds like. A lot of trying to decide who you were and who your people were, right?
Yeah, but that's not – I mean, we all had that. You know, we all had that.
What about when Indiana Jones comes along and Transformers comes along?
Yeah.
I mean, those are huge, huge franchise movies.
Huge, yeah. I mean, you're grabbing onto a rocket ship, you know? It's an uneasy relationship.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you scared of them?
Terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to meet your heroes. You know, I used to – my mom was whispering in my ear when I was young, you know, because she's a – my mom's a true Jew, you know what I mean? One of them Jews who's proud of being Jewish mm-hmm. for no mm-hmm. reason, you know, like for nostalgia, who don't even go to synagogue.
Right.
And so she used to whisper in my ear, like, you'll meet Spielberg one day. It's before I even was trying to be an actor. And then you meet the dude and you're like, wow, man, this almost feels spiritual. Like, wow. this is above reality. This
Your
is
mom told you that at what age?
Oh, man, young, 3, 4, 5 years old.
She was lying to you at the time.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Right. Full blown. Straight
she didn't
garbage.
Know, right?
No way. and even when I told her, she thought I was lying to her, you know? And then I brought her to set. They met each other. I mean, that stuff's crazy, you know? So yeah. Even if the movie turns out to be what it is, the life experience part, it was like, it felt spiritual. And that's not a great place to, you feel like you can't express yourself because you're terrified.
Right.
Right.
So,
right.
So like my least favorite work is with the dudes I respected the most, which mm-hmm. is a strange thing.
That makes sense, though. If you're scared, you're just trying to not screw it up.
Roger. And then there's no freedom.
Right.
And it sounds like you're at a point now, and this is the voice of actor Shia LaBeouf here on the Kevin Bean Show. It sounds like you're at a point now where you are making the choices that feel right to you rather than trying to figure out a career path.
I think, yeah, yes, absolutely. I think for a long time, too, this job was economic, you know. You start making choices where you just work to work because you're scared that it'll go away. And so it's hard to be patient in this business, you know, you're constantly dealing with like momentum shifts and things like that and trying to ride waves. And that's all that's the wrong way to go about making films.
Now, we've both seen Man Down. And we're excited to talk to you about that. We're going to do it in the next break. But okay. We also have to talk about actual cannibal
Shia LaBeouf. It's important.
And you in the paper bag.
It's important.
You in the out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, sure.
You got some weird crap going on. Sure. I almost cursed myself. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Director, actor, performance artist, Shia LaBeouf is in studio with us right now on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yes, you can! Just do it!
We're doing it. We're doing it right now, Shia. Don't yell at us. The new film is called Man Down. It is in theaters everywhere on December the 2nd. There is a free fan screening tonight that you are going to be hosting at the Arclight in Hollywood, Shia.
Yep.
This is a pretty cool way to kind of meet your fans and have them see the movie for the first time with you.
Yeah, I think because, you know, like we got lambasted by critics. We showed our movie in Italy, and then this was at a time when it was really easy to poo-poo me, you know, because I had a bag on my head, and people were like, what's up with this dude?
I mean, you did have a bag on your head.
For sure. So and I also think, like, you know, film critics are a bit like wine tasters. You know what I mean? They don't crush the grapes, so it's they're a bit removed.
Right.
So we just been showing it to soldiers, you know, and trying to get the cosign that way. And now we're showing it to some soldiers and some soldiers' families tonight.
That's funny because I didn't know any of that, and I watched it and loved it.
Cool. Cool.
And so did Bean.
Cool.
Yeah, the RSVP, by the way, if you want to go to the free screening tonight, it's mandownla@gmail.com. mandownla@gmail.com. The screening is first come, first serve. You'll receive a confirmation email if you are confirmed for the screening. It's going to be tonight at the Arclight in Hollywood. You're going to be doing a Q&A post-screening with your director and the writer of the film.
Yes. Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure. Sure.
Have you ever had an actor come up here and they've asked you to watch the movie? Like, let's say Cuba Gooding Jr. came up here or something, right? And he's promoting Snow Dogs or something. And he's like, hey, guys, can you guys watch my movie?
Right.
And then he comes up and he's like, hey, man, you know, I work really hard. You know, I put the time in. You know, me and these dogs, we got a relationship and all this. Right? And then he's like asking you what you think about the movie. Have you guys have been stuck in weird spots like that?
Yes. Yeah, not only that, let me give you a different one. We've watched the movie, hated it, and then told the guest we didn't see it. Yeah, because, like, we don't want to be dicks,
that's
right?
Smart. No,
but
that's
we
the way.
Saw the movie,
that's
and we were like, let's not even bring it up.
That's
let's
the way.
Let's
that's
say
the
we
way.
Didn't
right,
watch
that's
it.
That's the way.
But I think to your Snow Dogs example, though, Shia, I think our way out would be, oh, those dogs were awesome.
Right.
You can find something positive about any movie.
Yeah, it's true, I guess.
This film, I think, is really, really important, This Man Down. Not only is it edge of your seat tense and beautifully acted. And by the way,
thanks,
let me
man.
Just say, you're in a room with Gary Oldman for a lot of this film.
Yeah. Just the two of you.
Just the two of you, and it is so riveting and compelling. I mean, as an actor and as a fan of your medium, what's it like to go toe-to-toe with the great Gary Oldman?
Well, see, this is incredible, right? Because he's a dude who I hold higher than Spielberg, right? Because he does what I do.
Right.
And so he's samurai level, master of craft. And
now what are you?
I'm, like, figuring it out, you know?
Okay.
But you get in a room with him, and you would think you'd get that Spielberg fear where it would inhibit you, but he is a charmer, man. He is a different type. He makes you better. You know,
you're comfortable sitting across from him as good as he is.
Yes, because a fisherman can see another fisherman from afar, whereas a director has to do a different job. That dude has to do what I do, which is to reveal his soul. And I've seen him do it so often, I feel like I know him in a way that I didn't with Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, hats off to both men, but this dude is like, Gary is the dude who, like, he just sets up the environment to where you can't lose. If you start feeling like the scene is going haywire, he won't wait for the director to come in. He'll start asking you questions that aren't on the page, and he'll get you there. He'll provoke you,
and then
they'll start the scene again.
Yeah, because there was a lot of that where he was trying to figure out your character's story and the background and your kid, and you were super uncomfortable talking about it.
Yes, and that's because he's poking at me.
So
what you're seeing on screen is a mixture of our script and also him asking me questions like, why did you want to get into this? Why are you in this room with me? Do you think you're good enough? Things like that are, you know, now you're searching yourself. Now you're not even in a movie anymore. Now it's just two dudes in a room talking about truth. And then we get into the scene. So Gary likes to play a lot like that.
For people who haven't seen the trailer, explain to them your character and the situation that he finds himself in.
All right. Gabriel Drummer, he's a Marine who's, you meet him, he's getting ready to go to Afghanistan. And he's coming back from Afghanistan simultaneously, which is a trip. But he's trying to deal with how his job affected him. That's basically the gist.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to say any more either.
No.
You don't want to give it away because it's such a fascinating ride to sit there and try and figure it out along with, you know, Gary knows more than we do, his character, but it's a fun ride to figure out what's going on and at what time, and it's not confusing in the time travel part. It's not confusing
at
all.
Cool. I think also Adam was trying to put people in the spot. You got a lot of these movies about PTSD where you're looking at it like it's an object, like from this objective place, whereas Adam wanted to put you in it, you know, make it a subjective thing so that you could identify with it.
What have you learned that you didn't know in doing the research of this movie and talking to Marines about PTSD?
Oh, boy. I know a lot of Marine history, you know, because they drill you. Or they'll smoke you, you know. If you don't know why they say when they go to sleep, you know, every night before you go to sleep, because I bunked with these dudes, they'd always say, you know, good night to fallen soldiers. And if you didn't know the names, then you would get smoked, and they just have you doing push-ups till 3 a.m. And you know, you eat with these dudes, you live with these dudes, they drive you to set. There was one dude in particular named Nick Jones Jr. who just became my heart. He's that big, huge black dude who sprays me,
right?
You know,
yes.
OCOC.
Uh-huh.
So that dude, me and him just clicked up right
is
away.
Is that real pepper spray?
Oh yeah.
I'm not clicking with somebody that's pepper spraying me.
Wait, I mean, you know, you have to do it, and you only want to be sprayed by somebody you love.
Okay, that makes sense. So as an actor in the movie playing a Marine in training, you allowed yourself to be actually sprayed with pepper spray in the face?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And you know Shia.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not like Gary. Gary can conjure things. Gary is a sorcerer. I'm just like an average dude, like a regular run-of-the-mill guy who – I'm like a boxer. These are ordinary men with extraordinary determination. So I'm determined for it to be good, but I don't have some magical knowledge or skill set like a guy like Gary does.
So you almost do it out of fear. You're not a good enough actor.
100%.
Just spray me?
Yeah.
Wow.
And now it's gotten to the point where other people are doing this kind of thing to, like, prove that they're I just don't even like talking about it anymore because it sounds like nonsense, but really it comes from a place of lack of faith in skill sets.
Right.
Insecurity.
Yeah, it makes sense. Marines that aren't associated with the project, what kind of feedback do you get from them?
They love a movie.
They do.
Yep, period.
PTSD.
I'm mad at that. I do too.
Yeah.
PTSD does not get talked about very much in the media, but it is a huge problem for our returning soldiers, men and women alike, right?
Yeah, and their families. And their families.
And it's way more prevalent than I think most of us know.
Yes. You have a problem in this country where federal agents can't turn to anything to scratch that itch other than depressants. So you're coming home and right away they're taking your gun from you, they're giving you liquor, and they're putting you in a room telling you to do paperwork. You're going to fall apart. That's just
what happens. These are war fighters. You know, it's a very tough situation. And they have nobody to talk to because the minute they open their mouths, they get taxed for it. You know, if I come out and I say, hey, man, I got this thing that's affecting me. And you say, okay, cool. I hear you and I'll make note of it. And now me making note of it makes it so that you're a crazy person and you have now been muted and you have been made an abstraction. So you're no longer a person who I actually have to deal with on a one-to-one level. You just get put in this little box of this abstractions that you never actually have to deal with.
So you're that guy with that thing that the person doesn't have to actually delve any deeper into.
That's it. Here's
your pills. What's a better way to handle it, Chaya?
You have to start dealing with people as opposed to dealing with issues, problems. You know, they generalize PTSD, and it's a very personalized issue. And I think instead of prescribing people pills, you should be giving people therapists. And the only people that are really giving these dudes therapists are the USO, which is which is not the military. The USO is a private organization that's funded by the public, like NPR. The military doesn't deal with these people like humans. They deal with them like machines, and that's a problem.
The film is called Man Down. Again, it's opening everywhere in theaters on December the 2nd. You can see a free screening with Shia, along with the director and the writer of the film at the Arclight Hollywood tonight. Email mandownla@gmail.com.
And can I just say before you guys kick me off the show?
Oh, we're not going to kick you off yet. We have three more questions.
All right, okay, good. Okay.
No, but go ahead. Say what you want.
I'm really honored, and I'm not lying to you. So just like it's awesome. Anyway, all right. Okay.
Done. All right, let's get into a few other things.
Yeah. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. How was that? How did that come about?
Well, I heard it one year. I was, you know, I'm being a narcissist, running through scrolling my name on the internet, and it came up, and I was like, "What is this? This is
insanity." Don't Google your name on the internet, child. You don't want to do that.
I do, man. I'm fragile. So.
And you found it funny,
hilarious.
What are you doing?
I thought it was both, but the more I listened to it, the more hilarious it became.
Why did he write a song about you being a cannibal?
I wanted to know also, so I wrote him and asked him, and he didn't explain it to me. He just said, "Listen, it's bigger than you think." And I said, okay.
Did he ask you to come be in the audience?
Yes. He told me like a year later that he was going to be doing this thing with the choir, and I thought it was brilliant. So then I showed up, and he's like, you know, do what you want. I said, is it cool if I do this clap from Citizen Kane? And he was with it. So that's how, I emailed him like a fan.
That's fantastic. All right, what is the deal with you and your friends, Nacha and Luke, your best friends that I understand you still talk to every single day, this art collective that you have, and this is all the crazy stuff that you've heard about Shia doing with the paper bag and with the people coming in and talking to him and watching the movies, and all of these are under the umbrella of what you guys are doing for art.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're not smart enough to get it or what.
I wouldn't even say we're doing it for art, because now you're putting me in a box that feels like garbage. You know, I'm not out here for no, I mean, look, everybody's got their own ambitions. I think when I first started this, it was sort of to get out from under this plagiarism umbrella. You know, and I was doing a lot of self-searching because I had screwed myself with this Dan Klaus thing, and he's beloved, like Metallica, you know?
Right.
So I was vilified, and that hurt my soul, and then I started searching myself.
Is that when the paper bag happened?
Yes.
Explain to people what you did quickly. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I plagiarized Daniel Klaus's comic and made a short film out of it because I was insecure about my own ideas and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I make the short film. I get lambasted for it. It goes to Cannes. It becomes this huge thing. I come back home, and it's like, let's hang the kid. And I'm feeling that way about myself. So I get really depressed while I'm shooting Fury. And I asked David Ayer what I'm supposed to do, and he said, you got to take the narrative back. So I take that to heart. I start going online looking for some kind of art theory that backs my play. I find this postmodernism writing, this guy named Ken Goldsmith, who's from Penn State. He's like a poet laureate. I get with him. He's like, hey, man, start tweeting this. So I'm basically running around from this, like, art philosopher to that, because I never went to art school. I'm a public school kid, you know, and I don't know really nothing about art past Basquiat and the things I've seen in movies. And so I start, like, this art education with these people who start shepherding me around. The postmodernism thing has a very low ceiling. There's no hope involved. Then I meet this guy named Luke. I'm fast-forwarding quickly, but I meet this guy, Luke, who's like a brilliant, brilliant genius kind of mind, and he starts spitting stuff that makes sense to me about, you know, error breeding sense, and that just feels good. So I start rolling with him. We start planning these shows. We developed this thing with this bag on the head to do at Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac screening. I ask Lars. Lars loves the idea. Once Lars loves the idea, then I'm fully backing this thing because I believe in Lars.
Right.
And he's dogma and very, like, he's...
And- And people would come in and say what to you?
They would do a lot of things. Some people would come in and support. Some people would come in and fire off. You know, you get all types. And you got to, like, maintain some kind of stoicism through that.
Was it what you thought it would be?
No, not at all. I thought people would come in and just break my nose. I thought day one, guy one, comes in, anvil to the face.
Because you can.
Yeah, I thought for sure. I thought that's what... Because Daniel Klaus, to me, was like Metallica. And his fan base... to me, is like Metallica.
Right.
And I thought, you're going to have a meltdown comic kid come in here, he's going to punch me in the face, kiss me on the forehead, and say he did it for Dan and leave. And that guy never came in.
Wow.
That guy came... That you would see that guy come in, and then as soon as he would see me as a human, as opposed to this idea or this abstraction, and he was dealing with me on a human level, his empathy as a person wouldn't allow him to hit me in the face. So even if he was saying it in line, and he was saying that he was going to, oh, I'm going to break that kid, and there was dudes who were like that, I would wake up in the morning and there would be notes stuffed under the door like, you die today, right?
Really?
Yep. And then I would go sit down, didn't know it, and he came and he looked at me, and I was pretty beat up, and people would empathize. So, it, these things start as a very ironic, kind of silly thing, and then once you're actually faced with it, it becomes very sincere and human.
What about when you started giving out the coordinates of,
yeah, so
of
that,
where you are?
That's the most recent thing.
Yeah.
We basically road tripped the United States and part of Canada using Twitter as a GPS coordinate bat signal kind of thing. People would show up and pick us up and take us wherever they wanted.
You would just put up whatever coordinates you were. Wherever you were, you would put those
up. I'd tweet those coordinates.
And then somebody, you have no idea who it is.
Right, we wait maybe 20 minutes. People would come and pick us up, and we'd say, take us wherever you want. And then we'd get in the car with them and drive for 3 days and wind up in Florida or wind up in Alaska.
That sounds insane.
It was pretty nuts, yeah. And it takes a lot of trust.
Was
you know?
That what you expected it to be?
At this point, you're actually, where I first started in this quite cynical Simpsons kind of vibe where, oh, for sure I'm going to die. I've now wound up past the Daria stage into, like, I have hope more now so than before because we've been doing it for 3 years. So I'm actually now anticipating a very human, sincere, loving thing on the other side. You actually
people are nicer than
such,
we expected
it's serious,
they would be.
Man. It's serious,
and that's a huge change from what it started with.
Oh heck yeah! Because I go on the internet, you go on the internet, we read all this like. It's vitriol, just heavy. And then you get in the world, and that vitriol isn't reflected the same way. So, I think that's a big part, a spine of what we're doing. We're using the networks to forge connections, which I think actually enlighten people to what humanity might be about as opposed to what you see on the internet.
Do you have management that says any of these ideas are bad ideas?
The three of us collectively... beat ideas into the ground. It's not like we just haphazardly okay. throw stuff up, but like we'll beat an idea down for a year. Like the stuff we're getting ready to do, we've been thinking about for 2 years.
Right, so, what are you getting ready to do? Could you tell us?
I can't, not specifically, but right. we're doing something in Australia coming up here in December, and we're gearing up. Yeah.
Okay. That is super convenient for us. Thank you, Shia. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm glad that we can end this discussion about your art on such a positive note that you are encouraged by what you see from people in the world, because we don't hear that message very often. You're absolutely right. On the internet and on TV, you get the impression that the whole world has gone to hell, but that does not sound like it is the case, my friend.
No.
I'm real happy to hear that.
Cool, man.
The film, I'm so sad that we're out of time because we could talk to you all day, Shia. You're such
an interesting guy. Will
you come back? I'd love to come back.
Come back anytime.
Okay.
The film is called Man Down, you guys. It is intense. It is powerful. It's some of the best acting and writing and directing you'll see all year. You really, really should see it and will see it when it opens everywhere on December
2nd.
Man,
I've always been so scared of you guys, man. This is awesome. Just because you guys are straight shooters.
Why would you say
that? I just thought maybe I'd come in here and you guys just rip me up. I didn't know, It's cool, bro. I'm really appreciative.
He's pleasantly surprised by us as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
well, thank you, Shia. We really enjoyed it, sir.
Yeah,
bye-bye now.
Cool, man.
Thank you.
And it is 8:55.
Just ahead of Ralph's showbiz beat here, we're going to go out to Pan Pacific Park in Los Angeles right after the top of the hour and find out who wins tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Forum. We've been playing a scavenger hunt all day long today. And by the way, Ralph, you'll appreciate this note I just got from the field.
Yeah, I will.
Figuring out what is and isn't a maple leaf is more difficult than you'd think.
Google maple leaf images, and then look at that and look at the leaf.
Well,
what is
the
this
items?
Google you speak
it's
of?
It's a five-pointed leaf of a tree. What? That is in Southern California.
That's one at of the park where lightning is.
For the scavenger hut was a maple leaf, because in honor of the Strumbellas, who are from Canada, of course, we're looking for a maple leaf. And they're having a lot of trouble deciding what's legit out there. So I think that's very funny. Anyway, we'll find out.
A lot of counterfeit maple leaves out there in the market. So
we'll find out how many items of the nine the winner has to win those tickets to both nights. So that'll be coming up. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
We should have got a basket of leaves down there. Just pick one.
Just to make sure.
One. Yeah. It's all fun and games, kids. Come on. Can't we have a good time?
Till somebody gets hurt.
Can't we have nice things?
No.
That's the truth. Kanye West in the hospital as of yesterday afternoon. This is right after he canceled the remainder of his St. Pablo tour. And right after, reportedly, according to TMZ, his wife, Kim Kardashian, left Los Angeles. So he's having a bad day yesterday.
I got to tell you, just him going off on Beyonce and Jay-Z even, it just seems so weird for him, because he's been friends with them from way back.
He's exhausted, Kevin. You know, when you're exhausted, you could take the stage in front of 50,000 people and start yelling at your friends?
No.
Oh, well.
I don't. That's odd.
I have to ask what I asked yesterday. Is it funny? Is it still funny, or is it not funny yet? Where are we on the funny scale on what's going on with Kanye in his head?
Look, I guess that remains to be seen. If he's got a serious mental illness, then I guess...
funny?
No, I guess it can't be funny anymore.
Sorry, not funny.
But if he's a self-destructive egomaniac?
Funny.
Gotta say.
Yeah.
I'm rolling around in it like a pig in slop.
How could you explain that?
I guess we'll have to. We'll have to wait.
Because baby, I'm awesome.
He is awesome.
It's true. Don't forget.
I'm also awesome, y'all know.
Yeah. If you're, let's say right now he's off the rails, but back when he seemed to be normal and functional, if you're making a song called I'm Awesome,
yeah,
then F you. Maybe one leads to the other. Maybe that kind of behavior leads to nuttiness.
I'm with you. I find it funny.
I do feel like Kanye is in that rarefied stratosphere of people who don't have very many people telling me he has bad ideas or he shouldn't do or can't do things, too.
Yeah.
He just probably doesn't keep him around.
But yeah. Some people have a self-governing
right
mechanism.
You would never say seriously that you're awesome.
Well, because I'm not. But there are plenty of awesome people that would never say they're right. Awesome. There's people in the world like Tom Hanks and Martin Scorsese and genuinely awesome people who don't say they're awesome. Yeah. Even if they think they're awesome,
yes, correct.
They have the wherewithal to keep that information to themselves.
And not just to say it once, but to say it repeatedly over and over and over like Kanye does. I mean, he really has been hammering us with how awesome he is.
We have never seen, at least I haven't, in my local Cineplexes coming this summer, Martin Scorsese's I'm Awesome. just like a two-hour IMAX movie about with just pictures of Marty's beard. You know? Don't do that.
I'd go see that, though, I feel like.
That'd be great.
Pretty good.
Especially if De Niro was in it.
Right.
But you just, there are rules in place that keep you functional in society.
What's the point of thinking? People that I understand how to make perfect.
That's true. He does make perfect.
Come on, right?
Yeah, right.
I can't bear it.
When someone comes up and says something like, I am a god, everybody says, who does he think he is? I just told you who I thought I was. A god. I just told you. That's who I think I am.
I got to tell you, I was sort of laughing at the story last night, and then I saw Jensen Karp tweet, and I retweeted both of his, and it was basically when Jensen Karp knew Kanye West in 2000. Mm-hmm. He was nice, he was kind, he was creative, and he really is sad to see all of that be taken over by something else.
So he thinks there is some problem there.
Feels like he's just sad about it. And I sort
Jensen
of said
sad about it.
Yeah, and I sort of thought, wow, I can sort of see that. None of us knew him when he was, you know,
look,
younger
if,
or whatever.
If that's the indicator that this is a mental issue rather than just an
ego issue. Who knows?
Who knows, yeah.
It could very easily just be an ego issue.
Right. But like you mentioned, Jensen did know him and has a history with him, and I don't. So.
And we've asked him off the air, and he says, yeah, great guy.
He stole $300 from him.
He did.
So
he stole him $300.
How great he could be.
Right, that's a good point.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Right.
We're all sorry for the realness. I'm sorry that Alicia Silverstone has to strip down naked for another PETA ad. This time she's in a new poster. Remember, I'd rather go naked than wear fur.
Oh, right? Sure.
Yeah. Now it's I'd rather go naked than wear wool.
What's wrong with wool?
Well, being
no animals get killed for wool.
No, we're not allowed to shear
what
the sheep anymore.
And well, you have to shear sheep.
No,
otherwise they collapse under the weight of their wool.
No,
it's gonna be giant sheep afros.
No, Bean,
we're doing
you're
them a
wrong.
Favor.
Alicia Silverstone claims that the poor little sheep get cut. They get harmed and seriously wounded
during
the shearing process. So she encourages you to wear vegan. So I'm gonna put on my lettuce sweater later on today, and I will be out and about, and please come up to me and
look,
feel free to have a nibble.
Everybody has to draw their line someplace. This seems like it's pretty far down there.
I don't know. Naked than wear wool.
I'm good.
What
Alicia's experience is, but as the only person on the show who has been a shepherd, I will tell you that I have shorn my own sheep and I have paid others to shear my sheep.
No.
And there was no harm, no foul, no damage to my sheep.
Deadly shearing.
Bean has had
tonight
sheep.
At 11. Tune in.
Those of you that always ask, "Is Bean? Does Bean really have sheep?" He really did have sheep. Yes.
Yeah. Boy, he had a few.
He sure did.
He sure
it wasn't
it,
like
right?
that at
he
all.
Had
or
yeah.
Just
yeah.
pets.
Yeah. Is shearing killing your sheep tonight at 11 on the NBC News? We'll find out. Sweet.
Nope. Wasn't like that at all.
Really?
What was the sheep's name?
Yes.
Fluffy. Wasn't one Fluffy?
No, I never had a Fluffy.
What was,
you,
Fluffy.
What was your sheep's name?
I had Milagro. I had Habibi. I had Popo.
Oh, Popo.
I had the twins, Philip and Elizabeth. I had a lot of sheep over the years. Milagro.
Milagro was an awesome sheep.
I'm not saying he wasn't an awesome sheep. I think that was an awful name. You're on the bad side of the
right.
equation. It's not the sheep's fault.
We're not mocking the sheep.
You.
We're mocking the shepherd, as you call yourself.
Speaking as the only one who was a shepherd.
You can't just say he's the only one who has
you
had
be
a
so
sheep.
Busy around Christmas time because you have to shove to all those life-size mangers and act out the whole birth of Christ story.
You guys
Do
always
you
say
hear
that.
What I hear.
You guys always say that I can't share in the human experience.
That was a you did
so
share.
Every once in a while, I'm a guy who has an experience that
all
we're
right.
talking about, and I got to jump up and admit to
thank
it.
Thank God we had a shepherd.
Thank
right?
God.
Did you carry a crook?
When necessary, certainly.
Sure, you have to. Bo Peep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jamie Lee Curtis is 58 years old today. Mads Mikkelsen, super talented guy.
The best.
We were talking about him as Hannibal, of course. He's in the new Doctor Strange as the big bad in that film. But Bean reminded me, and I forgot how terrifying he was. You remember in Casino Royale, the first Daniel Craig Bond movie?
Oh, yes.
He was Le Chiffre, the villain who cried blood.
Right?
What's more terrifying than that?
Yeah, that was great.
Excuse me, let me dab this tear of blood coming out of my eye. Ah! It's crying blood!
That bastard wouldn't have a gig if there weren't bad guys in movies.
Ain't that the truth? Mark Ruffalo's 49 and Scarlett Johansson is 32 years old today. I'd love to meet Scarlett Johansson someday. You know what? I think if there was a...
not possible.
Some sort of charity auction.
I've
where
seen
I don't
a
have
charity auction
like
one time
where
before.
I could bid, I don't know, $5,000 or something, and I could get an up close and impersonal how do you do with Scarlett Johansson. I would love to take advantage
Bean,
of that.
This is an opportunity for you to share twice
yes.
in one showbiz.
I have the human experience. Why don't you share that human experience with us?
I donated money to a charity thing where I could meet Scarlett Johansson and walk the red carpet for one of her films.
And you won. You won that auction.
I did win.
You?
I did win the auction.
Oh,
yes.
What an experience that must have been.
Did
well,
you enjoy your time with her?
Yeah.
I decided not to go after
of
all.
Of course not. Mm. Because Milagro had hoof fungus. That needed to be taken care of. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I want to thank actor Shia LaBeouf once again for stopping by and spending some time with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Getting a lot of love online from people who heard the interview. If you're one of those people who's lucky enough to wake up late and you missed it, you might want to check out today's podcast because I think you'll enjoy it. What
he's
a fascinating
great.
Guy, right?
Yep.
And what a great actor.
Agreed.
That's the thing. He's such a colorful off-camera personality that I think sometimes people forget what a tremendous actor he is. And this new film called Man Down, I think you guys will really like. All right, let's give away some tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 shows coming up Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Forum. This is both nights for Blink-182 and Kings of Leon and Jimmy Eat World, AFI, Green Day, Beck, Weezer, Bastille, and so much more. We're doing it this morning with a scavenger hunt.
Scavenger, a scavenger hunt is what we're gonna do. Better have the stuff with you. Lightning's in a bottle, FM Park, if you wanna go to Acoustic Night 1 and 2. Scavenger, a scavenger hunt is what we're gonna do. We have a list of items for you. Bring them all to Lightning FM Park so you don't have to eat a bunch of poo.
Nope, nobody's eating poop, but our man Lightning is once again in a bottle because we didn't want to just use the costume we bought one day, so we're making him wear it again today for no reason at Pan Pacific Park in L.A. Hey, Lightning.
Yo, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey, Bean, you undersold it. You meant today and tomorrow.
That's right. Oh, wait, I forgot Lightning will also be in a bottle out there
yes,
tomorrow.
Sir.
Yes,
sir.
So, Lightning, all day long we've been doing a scavenger hunt. We kicked it off first thing this morning at 6 a.m., giving out the first three items people were looking for. So there were nine items in total.
What's the most number of items that somebody showed up with by 9 o'clock at Pan Pacific Park this morning?
So here's the deal. I have John and Paula, both from L.A., with seven items, and I have Cynthia from Inglewood. I have 11-year-old Max, Ken from Glendale, and Jacob from Monrovia with eight items. So four people with eight items, no one with all nine.
Wow. All right, so we're going to do a drawing from those four people.
Four people with eight items.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there one item in particular that proved to be the one that was toughest for most people to get?
It seemed like it was the maple leaf. People were, even though they Googled it and they looked at the five-pointed leaf, people were pulling all kinds of leaves and bringing them over here.
But one of the reasons Ralph chose the maple leaf is because it's free and available on every street corner.
I think it's not on every street corner, and I think that people were in a panic to get here. And I had, you know, a gentleman and his son drive out here from Orange County.
Wow.
And they were just in a race and didn't have time to stop and pick leaves from trees.
Okay. Well, no one got that, right? I mean, nobody got all nine, so we're going to pick from the people that brought down eight. Okay.
So
all
right. I got my clear box over here. I've put the four names in it already. I'm going to shake it up.
All right.
I'm going to put it on the ground, and hopefully the winner will be excited, unlike Jose from yesterday.
If it's Jose from yesterday, take him back from him.
Exactly. No, he's not out here. All right. Hold the box right here. I'm reaching in. Unfolding.
Takes the longest
time. And the
time.
Winner of both nights of Acoustic Christmas goes to Jacob Ochoa.
Jacob.
From Monrovia. Here is Jacob.
Jacob.
I'm going to Acoustic Christmas.
Yes, both nights.
Both nights.
Who are you excited to see, Jacob?
Oh, everybody. I love Blink. I love Weezer. I'm excited for Green Day, so it's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's been since I've been. I can't wait to go.
That's wonderful. Hey, what were the items that were the toughest for you to put together that you were able to find this morning for the scavenger hunt?
I ran out of the house with the King's jersey and a Campbell's soup.
Good
and
man.
I didn't take my asthma inhaler, and if I did, I would have had all nine, and we would have avoided a drawing. But
you had an asthma inhaler at home, but you left after hearing the first clues.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, and I was close to my work. This park happened to be right by my work, so I couldn't go back home.
Well, you won anyway.
So I'll go with eight. Yep, absolutely. I'm excited.
Fantastic.
Well, congratulations, man. Be sure to come up and say hello to us when you see us at the Acoustic Christmas concert in a couple of weeks, okay? And thanks
absolutely.
So much for listening to the Kevin Bean
Show.
All right, dude, thank you. And thank you to Lightning in a Bottle. Can't wait to see where he's going to be tomorrow when we give away more tickets.
Scavenger. A scavenger hunt is what we're going to do. Better have the stuff with you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
Thanks. Thanks and thanks. Thanks. Mm. Give some thanks. Mm. Thanksgiving is the day that I gotta give some thanks.
Mm. I feel like we've given Rosa G her due this
Agreed.
Year for her Thanksgiving song, by the way.
Here's what happens. Every year we get excited about playing Halloween music.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fail. And then we get excited about playing Thanksgiving music, and then we fail.
And then we fail.
And then Christmas, and we fail.
So you're saying
just
fail.
Let's just
straight fail.
Yeah, that's what I'm
just
saying.
All the fails.
Our record is zero.
Hmm. All right, let's see. What
no.
That's Thanksgiving
no,
spooks.
Sir.
Let's hear a little bit of this.
No.
I haven't heard this one in a year either. We have time, Ralph? Do you mind?
Sure, we got time.
Thanksgiving spooks?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Turkey things are going to happen. Gobble, gobble.
What the hell?
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree. I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane. Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
Come on.
Yeah, that hurt. You did it.
I know.
I feel like we're still playing this, though.
That's Thanksgiving cooks.
Yeah.
The late DJ Omar Khan right there.
Yeah. All right, time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. What's going on, Ralph?
And for those of you who missed out on the Butterball Turkey Hotline this year, that is Kevin at krock.com. Kevin at krock.com, who is the source of all your misery.
Your thanks.
For missing out on that.
I will accept your thanks.
On that magical holiday tradition as well. So, I don't know why the bad man hates things, but he sure does. Let's talk about a good man for a change. James Corden has been announced.
Yay!
He has been tapped to host the 59th annual Grammy Awards on CBS.
That's a perfect choice.
It is a perfect choice. He is he's charming and commanding and a great host and likable. And I think he'll move things along and add humor to a sometimes humorless evening.
Mm.
Unless Kanye gets up there and talks. Then it's hilarious. But good choice there, CBS. I know
great
I speak
choice.
For Bean when I say we will miss LL Cool J, who was the host for a five-year run. He was a host. For 5 years, they let him host that show. By
now,
the way.
Ralph, you agree with me that, lick-lipping aside, he was a terrible host, right?
Look,
he wasn't entertaining.
Terrible.
He wasn't funny. He wasn't even competent at doing the handoffs or making things
yes.
interesting. He wasn't a particularly good reader.
Lick-lipping aside, yes.
He struggled in moments.
Yeah.
Five years. I really think his sixth year was going to be the one.
Really?
Though.
You thought you were going to nail it?
He was really going to come on strong in year six, and he was going to start moving the ball down the field.
The same company that used me as a spokesman for 4 years.
That's true.
Right?
Think about all the awful choices the
right?
Grammys have made up to this point.
Right?
This is a turning point for them. James Corden shows it's a new beginning. It's a new day. This is the Grammys!
All right. And he yelled at us, too. That was the other thing about Alan. He yelled all the time.
But what about O.J. Jr.?
He did, if I recall, introduce O.J. Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's kid.
He first made history with N.W.A., who are about to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's joined by his son, who's one of the gifted stars of Straight Outta Compton. Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
O.J. Jackson Jr.
Or O.J., whatever, whichever.
O.J. That's glad O.J. got a shout-out. Anyway, that's good news. Another music news. How fun and exciting for these guys. Yeah, the newly reunited Tribe Called Quest celebrating their first number one album in 20 years.
And it's such a good album.
It's a great album, and they are at the top of the charts. As we look at the Billboard Hot 100 right now, the newly reunited Tribe. First number one album in more than 20 years, as I mentioned. It's called We Got It From Here. Thank you for your service. And it debuts in the top spot this week. So congratulations to those guys.
The Tribe has spoken.
Yes, they have. Interestingly enough, here's your rollout of your top 10. It's an eclectic bunch.
All right.
Pentatonix with the Pentatonix Christmas album. Because mm-hmm. they sing without any music at all.
Okay.
So people.
This,
like
by
that.
The way, is their fifth hit Christmas album. 5 years in a row, they've had a Christmas album be in the top 10.
The Trolls soundtrack is third.
Okay.
What else is of note here? Number 7 on the chart, Leonard Cohen, with his last effort, You Want It Darker. He, just, of course, just passed away. Number 7 in the top 10. Sting's album, 57th and 9th, is 9th on the list. So,
what happened to Amy Winehouse?
She didn't make the list. But it's really an interesting one. You got Chainsmokers on there, Drake. I mean, just an interesting batch of artists in the top 10. But I like weird. I like it better than when all one kind of genre just dominates. It's nice that there's different kinds of music out there for people.
And I think Metallica will be the number one album on next year's chart. Or next year's list, rather, when it comes out. Next week. List when it comes out, yes. I'd like to do that whole sentence over, please.
Man, you need a Thanksgiving meal in you. Mark that. Need some nut pie.
So you need. I do need some nut pie.
Give me some nut pie.
Bean's running low on the nut pie.
Is that what they're serving at your house this year? Is nut pie, Ralph?
A big slice of nut pie.
Yeah, it does sound good.
We were doing Babylon this weekend, and we do a recurring segment called Inappropriate Toys, where we take a look at kids' things that are just wildly inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's food, sometimes it's mostly it's toys, occasionally it's children's books. And we just got sent one from somebody. It's a book for kids, and it's a kid holding up a big pie. And it's called A Nut Pie for Judd. And there's nothing overtly dirty about that, but it just struck me as so funny. I said, all I'm going to talk about from now on is just nut pie. So
I like it.
For Thanksgiving, get yourself a big nut pie for the family to enjoy. Nothing better. Nothing goes down easier than nut pie.
For Judd.
For Judd. Judd likes his nut pie.
Sure.
And, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention once again today that Kanye West is in the hospital. Kanye West.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he was taken to the hospital yesterday afternoon, just after he canceled his remainder of dates on his St. Pablo tour. And according to TMZ, just after his wife also left Los Angeles, she split.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
He wasn't doing awesome. So awesome.
Hmm. Yeah. But didn't
I'm
she?
I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Y'all know. He's awesome. Paramedics were called to his home yesterday afternoon. Someone called in with a medical welfare call to 911.
I don't recognize those words.
Medical welfare?
Is that something that is used a lot?
I think it's like a catch-all. I've rarely
heard it.
Something's wrong with the dude, and I can't quite figure it out.
Not sure what.
Yeah. Paramedics got to the scene, and they made the decision to hospitalize Kanye for his own health and safety.
Is it possible that he was just too awesome?
He may have overdosed on awesome.
Right?
It's very possible. Then they have to, I don't know, they filter your blood through charcoal or something to get some of the awesome out, and then you can come back. But
I am the number one human being in music. Mm. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
Yeah.
Any person. This
you could OD on that.
This comes on the heels of some questionable behavior on his part. He did launch into that that 30-minute tirade against Jay-Z and Beyonce and radio programmers and Hillary Clinton and Google and Mark Zuckerberg when he was in Sacramento before he canceled the rest of his tour. That was odd. And he also loaded up his Instagram page with 99 pictures of someone else's fashion line. People thought that was strange. That all went out there without a caption. So he seems to be struggling with some issues and, well, they're calling it exhaustion. So.
What's the
when
point
you're
of thinking?
The absolute best, you get hated on the most.
That's true. Trust me. Right? And once again, just a quick shout out to my friends over there at Wood Rocket, woodrocket.com. They are really single-handedly keeping alive the flame of porn parodies. They do a great job over there.
Good on them.
They brought us 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles, and now they're bringing us the Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers. And I do want to give a shout out to them. They just released their Safe for Work trailer on YouTube if you want to check that out. And you can meet Zordong, who works with the Mighty Morphin Power, excuse me, Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers, and some of the Rangers, Willie and Sack and Creamy and Rimberly. They're all there.
Tell me more about Rimberly.
And then they form the Megahore when they all come together into that big robot that they make. So looking forward to checking that out. But I just want
to get anybody need that much porno?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. They were also the minds behind Strokeymon, too. Let's not forget that.
Oh, they did Strokeymon?
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jamie Lee Curtis is 58 years old today. Mads Mikkelsen celebrates 51 years. Mark Ruffalo is 49. Scarlett Johansson is 32. And I would be remiss if I did not mention also that the film Yoga Hosers is available today on DVD and Blu-ray. Makes a great stocking stuffer for the holiday season. Get it for your parents and your grandparents.
Especially grandparents.
Oh, they would love that. They would love themselves some Yoga Hosers from director Kevin Smith, featuring Lily Rose Depp and Harley Quinn Smith and Johnny Depp and myself. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. K-Rock, Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Tickets are sold out, but at Helpful Honda, you can still get on the list. Follow them to find out how and use the hashtag WinK-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat because it is Wednesday, but it's the final work day of the week. Very exciting. We have Kathy Bates from Bad Santa 2. We have R.J. Bell. We have the Wheel of Bad Animal voices and Doto, the international man of mystery. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.